from his studios in New York. It's time for Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, where sports meets life. Here's your host, Dan Tortora.
Welcome here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on wakeupcalldt.com, your one-stop sports shop, and on mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt. It is an honor and a privilege to be here with you, as always. I want to thank everybody for being flexible to the crazy schedule. It's a good news schedule. Typically, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora airs live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern time. But with everything going on with the Syracuse Orange men's basketball team, I've been traveling. So you've all been very understanding of the travel. Obviously, it's good news for Syracuse fans around the country and the world. So in my travels, I have had to kind of ad lib a little bit here and make sure that I was available to travel and do different things. So I want to thank everybody who has listened into the show. It's been on some Thursdays, some Saturdays, some Sundays. So outside of the normal schedule of Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and I want to thank everybody for that. That is because of Syracuse's run in the NCAA tournament, because, and also being down in D.C. for the ACC tournament, because I was in the ACC tournament region in that area, Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. I did a live show Tuesday through Saturday there, including my Bubble Watch show, and then went on from there and did the show live from St. Louis, Missouri with Syracuse in the round of 64 and 32, and then went in live from Chicago, Illinois in the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight, and will be live from the Final Four with Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on site in Houston, Texas. So, and a potential championship game. So it's been a very wonderful, very busy, very hectic time, and I thank everybody for being very supportive and bouncing around with me in my schedule that has changed over time here with the Syracuse Orange men's basketball team in my travels and putting the show live on site in Washington, D.C., St. Louis, Missouri, Chicago, Illinois, and soon to be Houston, Texas. So today I am here with you instead of 9 a.m. to noon on a Wednesday. It's 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern time, and I'm very happy to announce that there will be 9 Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum that will be joining me on today's show. 9 of them, featuring Leo Routens, Dale Shackelford, Lazarus Sims, John Wallace, Ryan Blackwell, Tyler Ennis, CJ Fair, and Raheem Christmas will be joining me here on the show. So I'm very, and Gene Waldron as well. So I want to thank everybody that's going to be a part of the show today. I cannot wait for this. It is absolutely amazing. I am fresh off of going to the pep rally for the men's and women's basketball team to send them off at Manly Fieldhouse. And I want to thank Syracuse for giving us an opportunity, the fans as well as myself, and what I do for a living to be able to be out there and see both of the teams. They have done amazing. I don't want to take away from the women's team at all by having this show with plenty of Syracuse men's basketball alumni. The women's team has been absolutely amazing. Coach Q was on the show going into the NCAA tournament here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. It has been a privilege to see this team advance. I've said every single year that the Syracuse women's basketball team under Coach Q the last 4 or 5 years has taken a step ahead each year. Take a step ahead in recruiting, then a better recruiting class, then into the NIT, then into the NCAA tournament, then winning a game in the NCAA tournament, and now where they stand, being in their first ever Sweet 16, first ever Elite Eight, first ever Final Four. So I want to give a special, special thanks to all the hard work of Coach Q and commend him for his hard work, as well as his assistants, Von Reed, who has been on the show numerous times in the past. Everything that the women's basketball team has done cannot go understated or underappreciated. So a thank you and a congratulations to their hard work and to the men's team as well. I think that these teams have definitely shown that if you put them up against the wall and you expect nothing of them, they will turn around and they will show you exactly what they're made of and what they're capable of. And, you know, this men's basketball team is a team that I supported from day one. I supported too much distaste from other people in the media that thought that it was a stupid pick, that thought it was a dumb way to look at this season, that didn't think that the Syracuse team was capable of even getting out of the ACC alive, let alone get to where they are today. So I'm very happy to say that standing behind this team and my prediction in the preseason in October, believing that this team could take it to anybody in the ACC, believing that they were more than capable of winning games and rising to the occasion and rising to the top of the ACC. And if they beat North Carolina, essentially my prediction of them being the best team in the ACC would fulfill its duty. So, and even before that, just getting to the Final Four, I think says a lot. There were numerous ACC teams that made it in to the NCAA tournament. And, you know, Duke obviously got themselves to a point to play Oregon. Notre Dame got in the Elite Eight. North Carolina, Virginia, all with Syracuse. Pittsburgh lost their first game. But when you look at the teams, Miami also got themselves to a certain point in the ACC, in the NCAA tournament from the ACC. So, you know, each of these teams has really shown that they're capable. And Syracuse has made it farther than any team except for North Carolina. So, you know, I stand by my prediction. I stand by my word. I stand by what I felt in the beginning of the year. I told you why I made those decisions. And I'm very happy to say that the team is standing where they're standing right now. Feel a little bit of vindication if you want it. I don't need it. You know, I stand by the way that I feel about things. I spend a lot of time researching, studying. I don't make an opinion unless I really feel like I have one that I can back up. Because in my profession, once you let out an opinion, people want to know why. So my opinion on this team has not changed. It has not shaken. I'm happy to see where they have come up to this point with Syracuse Orange men's basketball. Because knowing each of these guys, covering them, being around them, you know, you feel for these guys. You feel for them when they're attacked. You feel for them when they are negatively put out there. And, you know, Tyler Lydon, Tyler Roberson, Mike Benajay, Trevor Cooney, Malachi Richardson, Frank Howard, Daywan Coleman, each of these gentlemen have truly shown that they can take everything that you say about them that's negative and turn it in a positive light. And Jim Boeheim said a lot of things. I'm coming off of the pep rally. I was at the Syracuse Orange women's basketball, men's basketball pep rally, and that's why the show is 2 to 5 today. So thank you for following me here into the afternoon. But I was at the pep rally and just getting to see them. You know, getting to see Coach Q, who is very, very confident in his team, and knowing that, you know, obviously Jim Boeheim, he said that he looked around the room and he said, I know everybody that's in this room right now at Manly Fieldhouse are the people that stuck with us all the way. We don't have any naysayers in this room. We don't have anybody that, you know, was hating on the team in this room or negative toward the team in this room. And it really does say a lot. You know, the fans that showed up, the fans that wanted to be there, the fans that were there vicariously, through, you know, being able to see videos that I was able to shoot and whatnot. You know, I want to honestly thank the people that are true fans, and not just for Syracuse, but for anybody. When you're a true fan, you stick by your team. And, you know, I think Syracuse has gotten a lot of Rena fans. There's a lot of fans that were critiquing people like me who thought that this team was capable of having a good season, of being a strong team, of turning some heads. You know, for those of us that were criticized, the people that criticized us are now buying Syracuse hats and Syracuse shirts and Syracuse jerseys and going to the games and getting excited. And, you know, I think I could speak on behalf of everybody in saying that if you're going to stand by a team or stand by a pick or stand by a prediction, then stand by it. But the whole Rena fan or Rena this or Rena that, you know, I mean, you go back in history and you can look and say, okay, you know, this is the person in the media that said that this team was capable of doing good things. These are the people that were cheering on the team for North Carolina, for Oklahoma, for Villanova, for Syracuse. And if you're not, I mean, great. You know, you convert yourself, but please understand that, you know, there is a time. In 2003, I predicted that Syracuse would win the national championship, and I was a senior in high school at Christian Brothers Academy in Syracuse, New York. And I had a bunch of people try and slap my hand and congratulate me after the fact. And those were people that picked Kentucky and Duke and everybody else under the sun. So it's a very different world when you see people try to cheer on a team that they weren't cheering on up until this point. And I'm very happy to welcome on to the show right now live. I said that there was going to be a bunch of Syracuse Orange alumni on the show today, and that has continued to increase as Ryan Blackwell proudly joins me here. Ryan Blackwell, knowing all too well what it's like to be a transfer like Mike Benajay and hope for a second chance, and there's no better second chance than what Mike's having right now. So without further ado, I welcome him on to the show. Ryan, how you doing today?
Good, how you doing?
I'm doing well. And Ryan, first and foremost, I want to talk about Mike. I want to go into Mike because he's somebody who was playing maybe 6 minutes a game in 19 games for Duke when he was there for a year. He averaged under 2 points a game. He was not somebody they leaned on, not somebody that they hoped in. And then all of a sudden he says, you know what, let me get another opportunity. Syracuse looks like a good place. And he has fought his way from what he was at Duke to being a guy off the bench at Syracuse to being 36 games in and 36 times double figures in scoring. He's been somebody Syracuse can lean on in any given game. And if you do the research, I think Syracuse would have won 8 games without him. Or if he didn't score well and do what he did, they would have had 8 wins this season and been nowhere close to the NCAA tournament. So what can you say about what Mike has meant to this team this year? What can you say about his efforts in attacking the basket? I mean, especially against Gonzaga, where the team was playing from behind and fouls weren't getting called. Just especially that one play that Mike Benajay had toward the end of the game, Syracuse down 60-59, and he goes to the basket. He gets hit by at least one player, if not more than one. Instead of turning around and complaining to the ref as some immature players would do, he kept his eye on the ball. He looked down, he grabbed it, he put it up at the basket after getting his own offensive rebound, and the team goes up 61-60 and eventually wins the game. Just what you can say about his maturity, especially in seeing it in a play like that against Gonzaga. When you look at his efforts and you look back at your time, when you decided to transfer to Syracuse and you wanted a second chance, I mean, obviously I know that you don't live with any regrets and you appreciated all your time here. From one transfer to another, I know you had an opportunity to go see Mike recently. What did you say to him? Anything notable or what did you want to kind of impart on him as he goes through this journey? And then when you look at this freshman class, I mean, to look first and foremost at Tyler Lydon and what he's been able to do, I mean, the guy's shoe comes off, he makes a three-point shot, he has that huge block against Gonzaga with 11 seconds left after the ball was called out on Trevor Cooney. This is he had 12 blocks in 2 games combined from Middle Tennessee State into the Gonzaga game, 6-6. He has stepped his game up, he's stepped his ability up. Against Virginia the first time around, 26 minutes, had no points. I think he only took 1 or 2 attempts from the field. And then you see how he's playing in this game against Virginia. And again, they needed him. They needed everybody. What can you say about what Tyler Lydon has meant to this team and how he's kind of grown through the season?
Always worked hard. Another guy that never complained or said anything, just plays hard.
And then as far as another true freshman, Malachi Richardson, when you look at his play, his efforts, he had 23 against Virginia back in January, and then he got up to that number against Virginia in the NCAA tournament, but he started out 0-for-5 from the field at the half. Just what Malachi has meant to this program, has meant to this team, knowing that he plays like anything but a true freshman. When you look at a team like Virginia, speaking here with Ryan Blackwell, Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum, Virginia is one of those teams that when they're up by 16 like they were against Syracuse with 19:28 to go in the game, they don't let anybody come back. They are not typical of letting a team spin them around. They were dictating the pace in the entire first half. They were dictating to Syracuse what was going on. London Parentes doesn't shoot well from beyond the arc all the time, but he did in the first half, 5-for-7. What can you say about Syracuse, their maturity, and this zone this year? Because the zone defensively has taken a lot of flack this year as not being as strong in previous years, not being capable with the personnel that they had, yet they spun around Virginia, a team that is extremely difficult to do so. To take a step away from Syracuse Orange men's basketball and look at the women's team, Ryan, I mean, there's only 12 schools in the history of college basketball that have ever sent their women's and their men's basketball team to the Final Four in the same year. This is the first time ever that Syracuse University has done so. And Coach Q, it's his first Sweet 16, first Elite Eight, first Final Four. What can you say about what Coach Q has done and how big of a moment this is for Syracuse that – it's not just Boeheim, but Coach Q, they're both going to the Final Four.
I think it speaks for itself. You know, they're both going. Coach Q's done a great job to turn the program around. I mean, like I said, there aren't too many schools that have done that. It's great for the community, for the university. It speaks volumes to what type of university we have up here on the Hill. And, you know, it's great publicity, great for recruiting, great for the future of sports and athletics at Syracuse.
Have you taken some time to make sure that you're watching both the men and the women at this point?
Yeah, I've watched a couple of the women's games for sure. The last three, I believe, I've watched. And definitely all of the men's games.
When you see the women's side, and knowing that they're going to go up against a Washington team that they had defeated previously, and then from here, the thought amongst everyone is obviously the juggernaut UConn. What can you say about how this Final Four looks and what you think about potentially seeing, if it is to happen and Syracuse does advance, to see potentially UConn and Syracuse and Brianna Stewart coming from the community as well, just what that type of situation, that scenario means?
Well, obviously, beating Washington, we know how they're going to play, but the way we're playing right now is unbelievable. We're playing at a high level. Q's got them playing just a lot of confidence. They were aggressive, moving the ball, scoring a lot of points, much different than obviously in the past. And, you know, with UConn, obviously, they're the favorite. Everyone expects them to win. Anyone who plays them is going to be an underdog. You know, they have a chance to win their fourth in a row. And obviously, Brianna Stewart's the best female basketball player
Ryan, before I let you go, to look at this year's team and know that, you know, they had taken so much. I can't say that I was a part of this because I did pick them high in the preseason, but that the majority of the media out there had obviously gone against them, have thought very little of them, didn't think that they could win much of anything this year, didn't think that they had the talent to do so, and then to see a lot of people continue to say each round, okay, well, Syracuse is going to lose to this team, they're going to lose to that team, and there's no way they could beat Virginia. They've continued to move forward with people not believing that they're capable, even to this moment in the Final Four. What has this team meant to you through your eyes, and what do you think about them being the team that's always underestimated this season?
That's good. Thanks, like Mike said, thanks for the motivation. You know, it's been a crazy season with everything that's going on. Started off well, beat some great teams, won out of Atlantis. They were ranked, you know, top 12, 14 teams in the country. Then obviously Coach got suspended, and they kind of hit a slide, and they came back, and they played well again. They hit another slide, and you know, from the outside looking in, the people that haven't really followed them don't understand, don't know, but people that really truly follow Syracuse basketball and know what type of team they are surprised because of what they've done. They've held in and almost beat North Carolina and beat Virginia almost, and they've been in almost every game with the exception of maybe Louisville. They've had a chance to win, so they've played well enough, and they have a talented enough team, but like you said, in a tournament, it's all about playing at the right time, and they're playing at the right time, so it doesn't matter what happened at the beginning, the middle, or the end. It's about what's going on right now, and right now they're playing well.
When you look at Syracuse playing teams close like you brought up, speaking here with Ryan Blackwell, Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum, the question that I've been getting, obviously, and well expected ever since Syracuse advanced to the Final Four was, Dan, do you think they can beat North Carolina? And I said, well, if there's any team in the ACC that can give them a run for their money, it's Syracuse, because the first time around was Boeheim's first game back. You know, obviously, and I know he's been a coach for a very long time, but it's a difficult situation to come back after being out 9 games, and the team lost by 11 in the Dome against North Carolina, and that score looks a lot higher because North Carolina made their free throws toward the end of the game. Then you fast forward to down by one possession, and you end up losing by 5 in Chapel Hill. Syracuse did. So now as Syracuse goes forward, I look at Tyler Lydon as a better player, in my opinion, than what he used to be. He's willing to shoot. Mike is willing to do a lot of different things, even though he's been a consistent scorer. Trevor's attacking the basket, not relying on the three. Daywan has gotten better with each passing game, in my opinion. Tyler Roberson has been phenomenal in the tournament, and some of those rebounds that he doesn't get credit for, he should, with those tips and different things he tries to do inside. Frank Howard has gotten better. Malachi is being Malachi this year. So when you put it all together and you look at North Carolina, what is your opinion? Syracuse has knocked on the door once at least, if not, you want to say 1.5 times. Do you think that they could knock down the door this time around, having played closer and closer to North Carolina?
Of course, why not? It's one game. Like I said, the best teams don't always win. Teams that are playing at the best basketball at the current time, we're playing as well as anyone right now. And it's only one game. Anything can happen. Villanova wasn't supposed to be Georgetown years ago, and they did. You know, so it's all about what they believe, what the players, the coaches, and the staff themselves believe. And I think they believe they can get it done. So, you know, they have a good opportunity. So it should be fun.
And lastly for you, Ryan, is there a better, when you look at all of the Final Four teams, you know, I think if you're going to argue any were supposed to make it, you can say 2003 with Carmelo and Jerry McNamara, Hakeem Warrick, that people had an expectation that that team would move forward during the season, but 2013 was not expected, 2016 was not expected by many. When you look at all of the Final Fours under Jim Boeheim, and right now he has 5 and 6 overall if you look at Roy Danforth, is this the team among all of those teams that, in your opinion, was maybe the most underrated or most unexpected at this point?
I would say so, yeah. I think you, of course, Boeheim would probably say that. I don't think he expected to be there. Given everything, given their record, what they went through, their youth, some of the younger guys, and... Yeah, I would say so, 100%.
Well, Ryan, from a Syracuse Orange alum to this team, what do you want the team to know right now, win or lose in the Final Four? What words do you want to impart on this team, having played on the court for Syracuse, played under Jim Boeheim? What do you want this team to know?
Well, you know, they've been playing with heart, they've been playing with passion, playing together, having fun, and giving us, the fans, something to appreciate and cheer for. So, regardless of win or lose, you know, give us your best. That's all they can do is play hard, take the confidence, have fun, which they've been doing. So we'll be rooting them on, for sure. I'll be down there.
So Ryan Blackwell will be down in Houston. I will be there as well. So I look forward to seeing you down there, sir. And as always, Ryan, you know I appreciate your time.
Sounds good, Dan.
All right, man. Take care. That coming once again from Ryan Blackwell, Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum. He just told you he's heading down to Houston, Texas. Hope you are too. I've been with the coverage of this team following Syracuse all the way through, covering the Syracuse Orange live from Washington, D.C. in the ACC tournament, round of 64 and 32 in St. Louis, Missouri, Sweet 16 and Elite 8 in Chicago, Illinois, and I will be bringing Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora live to Houston, Texas for some coverage of Syracuse Orange video, audio, as well as written stories. You better be on wakeupcalldt.com. If you haven't been, you've missed out on a ton, so please go there now. Check out the stories. You could go to the videos directly all throughout the postseason by going to youtube.com/wakeupcalldt. And don't miss a minute of me talking with all seven players for Syracuse, as well as my question to Jim Boeheim. When you look at the postgame or pregame press conferences, you can read those stories, and you can watch my videos on youtube.com/wakeupcalldt with assistant coaches Mike Hopkins, Jerry McNamara, and Adrian Autry. I'm going to take a step aside here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on wakeupcalldt.com, your one-stop sports shop, and mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt to get Dale Shackelford on the line. It's a jam-packed show, as promised. Nine Syracuse Orange men's basketball alumni on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. You're not getting that anywhere else. It's not happening. Jam-packed nine Syracuse Orange alumni all here with me today. You don't want to miss out on this. Plenty coming up. Dale Shackelford's next. I'll talk to you in just a second here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, where sports truly, always, and honestly meets life. Thank you so much for listening in.
Here is Stacy Tanner, owner of Ole Ole, talking about the freshest Mexican food you will find.
Every year as a family, we go to Mexico on vacation. And we love the cuisine. We love the freshness of the food. We can promise you freshly made food. Nothing comes in a package here. We got a bag of rice and a bag of beans, and the rest is all fresh vegetables and meats. We really wanted to represent Mexican cuisine and fresh food, where family and our young people or older people can go have a healthy, good meal. Well, we are located in the Matadale Shopping Plaza. My side faces Woody's Jerkwater, so we are literally neighbors. My husband and I. So kind of a side entrance. And that's on Brewerton Road in Mattydale. Our phone number is 455-5653 or 455-5-OLE.
Comic book, toys, gaming, and entertainment fans, this is your wake-up call. Salt City Collecticon is going on Sunday, May 15th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the F-Shed at the Regional Market on 2100 Park Street in Syracuse, across from Destiny USA. Buy your pre-sale tickets for $8 by going to Larger Than Life Toys and Comics inside the Great Northern Mall, right off of Route 31 in Clay, or by going to saltcitycollecticon.com. All day long, gaming, opportunity to buy comic books, entertainment, special guests, trivia, and prizes throughout the day, as well as food from Cam's Pizzeria, Carvel DeWitt, Q Dogs, and Ole Ole Mexican Restaurant. You can't afford to miss Salt City Collecticon. Sunday, May 15th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Proudly brought to you by Larger Than Life Toys and Comics, Syracuse Nerd, Rainy Toad Gaming, and Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora. Buy your tickets now at Larger Than Life Toys and Comics inside the Great Northern Mall or on saltcitycollecticon.com.
Larger Than Life Toys and Comics is a 6,000 square foot haven of comics and collectibles located inside the Great Northern Mall in Clay, New York. They offer new as well as vintage comics, collectibles, video games, and more. Larger Than Life Toys and Comics will also buy from you. So bring in your used or vintage comics and toys today to their store inside the Great Northern Mall in Clay, New York. Call 315-622-1891 to learn more about their trade-in policy, store credit, and even layaway. That's 315-622-1891. And make sure to like their Facebook page, Larger Than Life Comics, for constant updates, store hours, and more.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. That's MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. If you're not a member, make sure you become a member of both. WakeUpCallDT.com. Members get emailed. You get to know when things are going on. I get out to you quickly, right away, when something's coming down, as well as MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. Only my members on there can chat with me live during the show. You get emailed every time I go live, so you don't want to miss out on an opportunity. Make sure you join both and show your support. I'm very happy that when you speak of support, to have somebody that has been extremely supportive of me professionally and personally, one of the greatest people that I have met in the Syracuse and Central New York, upstate New York community in the last few years, and I'm very happy to have him back on the show, and that's Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum, Dale Shackelford. Dale, how you doing today?
Not too bad, Dan. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. And Dale, first and foremost, I know you said you watched the women's game, so I want to go there and show respect to Coach Q and this women's team and what they've been able to do. What can you say from watching the games and seeing this team, what they've been and how, I mean, everybody's paying attention to UConn, but let's pay attention to Syracuse women's basketball and what you think so far.
I mean, they're just a great group of young ladies that, they play hard together. Everybody has a role. Everybody understands what it takes for them to win. They run their, full court pressure defense. They've got the three-point shooters. Rhea Day, she works her tail off inside rebounding, and, everybody does their job. And, the bench players come in and, they just follow suit. It's a, a great, you got to give the clues to Coach Q. He stuck it out and, he kept the girls together and, they're playing well. Sykes, with the knee injuries that she's had, she's come back and she's playing well. You can't beat that. You got Butler and Peterson, they're shooting the threes. You got Morrison coming out the bench shooting threes. Fonda and Ford, they're helping Day out and rebounding and everything. So, it's a collective effort. Isabella Slim, she does her job. She plays hard defense and, she helps out in the rebounding and everything. So, it's a collective group of young ladies that understand each other, understand their roles, and, they're proving to everybody that, they are, a caliber program.
And absolutely, I mean, this team has shown that they are more than capable. And you brought up a bunch of the players on the team. Speaking here with Dale Shackelford, Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum. One of the girls that you brought up is Brittany Sykes, and just what she's meant. I mean, she's gone through injuries. She's been through a lot. She's someone that, adversity might as well be her middle name at this point. What can you say about seeing her on the court and seeing how effective she's been? She got to speak today at the pep rally, which I know is, I'm sure, very important for her. But Brittany Sykes, to see somebody come back from injuries that took so much time away from her and see her get to this point, how special that is.
Well, I mean, it's very special. I mean, she's she's a person that says that she's not gonna let the injuries beat her. I mean, the same thing with Daywon Coleman. They both had these injuries that kept them away for 2 years, and they've come back and played well. I'm not gonna jump into the men's because we're gonna talk about that later. But Sykes has done a great job. She hasn't, maybe she's lost a half a step or so, but she still plays hard and. She still gives herself up, for the cause of the team.
And then to look over to the men's side, when you talk playing hard, giving yourself up for the team, this team is a team that you and I have been talking about since very early on in the season. We've had conversations. I told you about my thoughts on this team, my belief in the team this year, and it wasn't because I was born in Syracuse. It's not because I cover Syracuse. It's not because of any of that whatsoever. It has to do with research, looking at them and seeing what they're capable of and what I really believe they could do this year. And they're finally showing it now at the most opportune time for them. But you and I have been talking about this for a while, that if certain things came together, we were going to see this team excel. I want to start first with Tyler Roberson. We know he's capable. We know he can. We know that double-double is not something that's out of the ordinary for this man. But consistency was key, and he has played his most consistent basketball in the NCAA tournament. And even when he's not getting a double-double, you can attribute what I like to call at least 12 rebounds in his favor when you talk about getting on the interior, punching the ball out, getting his hands on things, that there's more rebounds that he doesn't have in the stat sheets, so to speak. So to start with Tyler Roberson, Dale, what do you see out of him? Where is he, in your opinion, at this point?
Well, I think Tyler feels that, he's got new life. He went to Coach Bayham's doghouse, his verbal doghouse, for a little bit. He had a few down games and everything. And this is new life for him. This is a great opportunity for him to show the nation that, he should be considered as one of the best offensive and defensive rebounds in the country. Like you said, he doesn't get his hands on the rebound to actually pull it in, but he gets a hand down to tip it away or tip it around to give his teammates a second effort or a chance to get a loose ball rebound. And he's come through big for Syracuse. I mean, he's hustling. He's working very hard, and he's starting to play a little physical basketball, which he didn't play a lot early in the year.
And when you look at him playing more physical, I mean, Boeheim joked around about it when I asked him about it when we were in Chicago, when we were in Chicago, Illinois, in between the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight. I asked Jim about that in front of Tyler. I said, when you called him out in the media, and Jim laughed and said, I didn't call him out, and he doesn't listen to me anyways. What's your opinion on it? Do you think that, Tyler obviously heard it. He knows what was said. For you being a former player of Jim Boeheim's, I know you're not in Tyler's brain, but hearing something like that and then seeing him play, do you think that there's a connection between, okay, coach calls me out and now I'm going to go out and do some work, or do you not see a connection?
Well, there's a lot of situations where, the player can feel that he's playing as hard as he can. He's just, the ball's not falling his way, or, he's being keyed on as far as boxing out and, the other team's getting physical with him. I'm quite sure he heard what Boeheim has said. But, he hasn't, put his body forth and his mind forth to say, okay, maybe I do need to listen to coach and do something different, or maybe I should try some different things that we're working on in practice and stuff. And I think right now he's understanding that's what he has to do. He's starting to get his body on people before they get their body on him, so now he's got the leverage. And, we say all the time, coach is yelling at me and this and that, I don't pay it any mind, I'm just going to go out and play it. Some people can get away with that and some can't. And, for his sake, I think he responded very well to it at the right time.
When you see his game and you see his ability, you obviously were very important to Syracuse inside, rebounding, and all of your efforts that you made at multiple positions for Syracuse. When you watch Tyler Roberson, how do you define him as a player, and where would you put him as a rebounder? When you look at Syracuse, do you think he can regard himself as one of the best when it comes to the rebounding game? Does he have a lot of work to do there? How do you view him as a rebounder?
Well, pound for pound, he's got to be in there, and I'm going to say in the top seven. We've had a couple seven-footers, Roosevelt, Danny Chase, they were very good rebounders, and they had the size. Derek Coleman, Ronnie Cycli, these guys had the size, they were strong, and I think that Tyler Roberson is doing an excellent job on the rebounding end, for his size. And that's, that's credit you got to give to, a couple of the other guys, Coleman and Tyler Lydon. They're starting to, play a little bit harder, play a little more physical, and they're giving Tyler those opportunities, because now teams have to concentrate on the other guys also. So that gives him a little more freedom to, you know, get inside and at least get his hands on the ball and tip the ball or whatever.
And we discussed that before, that people put so much pressure on Tyler Roberson during the season, but he doesn't have a Rakeem Christmas inside to help him out. But as Tyler Lydon has improved and Daywon Coleman has improved, as you brought up, it's given him some more opportunity. So what can you say about Lydon and Coleman and how they help out Roberson's game and how they're kind of all helping each other right now interiorly on the defense for Syracuse?
Well, that's what the team is all about. You got to help out your teammates, make it easy for each other. Sometimes I might have to take the physical brunt, for one of my teammates. There's been quite a few times where, I've gone inside and, gotten elbows and, knocked around and stuff, so Roosevelt or Lewis can, get an easy basket or another rebound or whatever. And I think that's what, Tyler and DeJuan's doing, They're getting in there, they're getting knocked around a little bit, and they're knocking people around a little bit, and that's opening up for Roberson to do what he does best. And, it's starting to show right now. And, teams that haven't played Syracuse don't know, Syracuse as well as, the teams in the ACC and the teams that were in the Big East. So that gives them even more opportunity for those teams to say how we're going to play against Syracuse and what we need to do against Syracuse. You can get bad film on a team. And, that's not how they play. If you don't get the right film and the right scout report on a team, then you're going to be in trouble. So, where your coaches and your assistant coaches have to be, on point to find out exactly, what teams are capable of doing.
Tyler Lydon, somebody that we've been talking about here with Dale Shackelford, Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum, and my co-host for many of the games that we pre-gamed here for in the community for Syracuse Orange men's basketball, and Dale and I will be back in the community doing great things in the very short future here once all is said and done with this basketball season on the men's and women's side. But Dale, when we look at Tyler Lydon, he had 6 blocks against Middle Tennessee State, 6 blocks against Gonzaga, 5 blocks against Virginia, 17 blocks in 3 games, 5 or more in each of those 3. Just what he has meant to this team on the inside, putting his body out there. And, he showed himself as the best blocker, I think, within the first 10 games of this season. But he is definitely having a heyday right now. A lot of people talk about he needs to be more physical, he needs to gain a lot more weight. But 17 blocks in 3 games in the NCAA tournament, he's not listening to any of that. What you can say about Tyler Lydon so far?
Well, Tyler's playing his game. I think he's getting a little more comfortable playing inside. We know he can go outside and shoot the 3 or whatever, but he's showing everybody that regardless of how big he is or how much he weighs or whatever, he's capable of getting off the floor. He's got a long reach. He jumps very well, and he's got great timing and excellent position. Inside out a lot of the block shots. So, he understands that part of the game. He understands that those little things there will help Syracuse be successful. And, he's thinking about himself to say, I'm capable of doing these things, so why not continue to do them?
And then to Daywon Coleman, you and I have talked so much about him throughout the season that it takes time. 2 years since he's played basketball against another team on a court. I thought it was going to take him at least like the first 20 games to start to feel his way out. We're 16 games beyond that now, and I think that he has shown himself. Lydon's getting those blocks. Roberson's being looked at for rebounding. But there's been some big rebounds that Daywon Coleman has had in games, especially, against Gonzaga, against Virginia, skying up and holding on and protecting the ball late against Gonzaga as well, when, there's scrappy guards that were trying to take it out of his hands. So what can you say about Coleman's efforts, not just rebounding, but also scoring? And a big point that I don't think is brought up enough, he's making free throws as a center.
Well, if you ever watch the Syracuse bench when Coleman's around the basket and he doesn't get a rebound, all the coaches are yelling, they got their hands up, you got to grab the ball with 2 hands, you got to take control of the basketball. And I think he's understanding that as every every game goes on, you know, he's getting a little better at that. He's got to understand that there's guys that are stronger than him. He really hasn't played a lot since high school. So, you know, in that situation, he's been a dominant player, and there weren't many players that could knock the ball out of his hand. And he had other guys around him that were very good players that helped him out a lot in high school. Now where he's in a situation where, you know, he's going to be keyed out inside. He's going to be playing against stronger guys. He's going to be playing against guards that are going to reach in every time he gets the ball, every time he brings it below his waist. There's going to be a hand in it, you know, going for the ball. So he's got to understand that he's got to be very strong with that basketball. And, you know, and he's understanding that's what he's got to do. And also, on the offensive end, you know, don't worry about getting your shot blocked. Just stay strong and go to the basket, because now you're capable of making those foul shots. If teams foul you, then they're going to start giving up those easy baskets to you just to stay in a foul trouble. But I think he's learning, and he's working on his game to where, you know, it's better, and he's going to be more productive for the team.
It's been understated numerous times throughout the season, and it can't be, it shouldn't be, and I don't know how it can be at this point. You and I, Dale, have discussed this numerous times, and that's making your free throws. Syracuse is a team that if you put them on the line during the regular season, toward the end of the season, and you wanted them to make pretty much any time in the regular season, and you're down by two or they're up by two, whatever it may be, you put Syracuse on the line because they're going to make one of two, or maybe they'll miss them both. Against Virginia, they were 20 of 25 from the charity stripe. They've been playing well at the free throw line throughout the NCAA tournament. Just what that has meant to the team, and to not understate it anymore, that your guards are making free throws, your center's making free throws, just what Tyler Lye, I mean, your freshmen are making free throws as well. Just how important it's been that this team has been able to calm down at the charity stripe at the most difficult time to do so.
And that's you know, very important to say. You know, they're all feeling a little relaxed now. They're all, you know, there's no pressure on them to do anything. You know, they're just going out and they're playing their game. They're comfortable in what they're doing. They're confident in each other, and you know, they're confident in themselves. So you know, they're going up to the foul line. They're just relaxing and saying, okay, you know, let me just take it easy, take my time, and you know, concentrate on making the basket. And I think that's, you know, a factor in them that, you know, they're not feeling any pressure. So that's why, you know, they're a little bit more relaxed now as opposed to earlier in the season where they're pressing to win games, you know, to try to make it to the tournament or to try to do well in the ACC tournament, or, you know, to try to, you know, move up in the, you know, in the polls. So now it's a situation where, you know, we've got nothing to lose. You know, everything we do is, you know, something extra and something special. So we just got to relax and do what we're capable of doing and not worry about, you know, anything else.
Speaking here with Dale Shackelford, Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum, here with me on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, live from Syracuse before I head down to Houston, Texas, and bring the show there as well. Dale, Trevor Cooney, we have discussed the most hated, loved man in Syracuse, potentially one of the top five in Syracuse history, hated, loved, if not in the top three, top two. Trevor Cooney, the shot goes off the front of the rim against Pittsburgh in the ACC tournament. Syracuse loses by 172-71. Trevor didn't want that to be his last shot, his last memory, his last moment. It hasn't been. He has hit three-pointers, but he's attacked the basket, defensively played very sound. I'm going to call it a steal and keep it a steal and a turnover for Gonzaga, even though the official did not. When you look at Trevor Cooney for all that he has been to this team, for his defensive play, for attacking the inside, for making free throws as of late, and not just three-pointers. And on top of that, Frank Howard telling me, hey, he took us aside. Trevor Cooney, when we found out we were in the NCAA tournament, he held a meeting, and he brought us all in, and he said, guys, for better or for worse, you know, like, we're here, let's do this. We have, like you said, nothing to lose. Let's go forward together. I mean, he's shown his leadership at the best possible time for him to do so. What can you say about Trevor, the man who people were almost going to remember for his three going off the front of the rim, to Trevor Cooney now, the man in his second Final Four, technically, when you look back to 2013?
Well, first, we understand that, you know, people are, you know, fair weather fans and whatever. You know, they're going to be down on you when you're not doing well, and they're going to be all over you when you're playing well. And I think with Trevor, he's understood that, you know, hey, my shot hasn't been going well the last few games, so I've got to do something else. And he's strong enough to go to the basket. He's showed that in the tournament games. And, you know, he's capable of putting the ball on the floor and going to the rim. And, you know, that's what he's got to do. And in saying that, you know, that opens up for him to get a little relaxed on his jump shots, where, you know, he's not rushing or he's not taking his off-balance shot and rushing things. Defensively, I mean, he's always played good defense all year. I mean, there was one play in the Virginia game. I mean, he was a half a step behind the player, and he outran him for a loose ball. I mean, you know, it's not like he's not doing other things. And that's where, you know, we as fans tend to just watch the ball going to basket, and we don't see those other little things that are happening on the floor that they're doing on the floor to contribute to their success.
Overall, Dale, when you look at 6 Final Fours for Syracuse, 5 for Jim Boeheim, is this the team that you are most surprised made it, or maybe most underrated team? When you look back to 1975, 87, 96, 03, and then, you know, 13 and now 2016, is this the team that kind of takes the cake as being the team that was probably the most unexpected to get to where they are?
Of course, everybody had them down and out. You know, after their last game of the season against Pittsburgh, you know, people felt that, you know, they would either be in the NIT and lose the first game, or, you know, their season was over right then. And, you know, whatever Trevor said to the rest of the players, whatever Coach Boeheim has been saying and their coaches have been doing with the players, they realize that they've got a great opportunity. And it's great to see that they're taking advantage of it. And that's from, you know, they were in, you know, every game this year. You know, they were in every game. And, you know, we said all along that, you know, the last 5 or 6 minutes of the games early on, they just didn't have enough in them to finish them out. And now they're showing that, you know, we can finish them out. I mean, they've been starting strong in the second half and just running right through to the end of the game. And that's what they need. So, you know, maybe they're resting early and pushing themselves late. You know, sometimes you have to change your strategy a little bit. You don't change, you know, the chemistry or what you've done all year. But, I mean, you can change your pace of the game. And, you know, and that showed in the Virginia game when, you know, Coach Boeheim pressed. You know, he feels that, you know, his press is good for a couple of minutes, and then he takes it off, you know, and that's when the guys rest a little bit. He likes to rest guys in a 2-3 zone. I feel you rest a little bit better on offense. But, you know, everybody's got their different ways of resting. Everybody's got their different ways of, you know, preparing themselves from one end of the floor to the next. And, you know, they're showing that, you know, they're capable of doing that, and they're getting an opportunity to do it now on the biggest stage in college basketball, where the nation is watching them, and not just the ACC fans or the East Coast fans. So they're, you know, they're showing that, you know, they have been a good team. They've just been falling a little bit short during the regular season.
When you look at Syracuse this year and overall, I mean, Jim Boeheim's 40 years, 4 decades, and he has loved the zone and practiced and utilized the 2-3 zone forever and a day. It has different nuances, though. It has different pieces to it. It's very intricate, and as much as it's a 2-3 zone, it's not your typical textbook 2-3 zone. It can look like a 3-2. It has man-to-man properties. Different players have different assignments when it comes to different things, and depending on who's shooting well and who's not, there's going to be different players, personnel that are going to be asked to do different things at different times. So when you see a 2-3 zone, and I grew up, I played basketball, I played in the 2-3 zone, this is a very, very different 2-3 zone from your typical, this is what it's supposed to be. What can you say about the 2-3 zone and how Boeheim kind of takes a little bit of everything and puts it together, even though people think it's strictly a 2-3, that it's more than that?
Well, I mean, he puts little wrinkles in here and there. I mean, he'll trap the low corners and the high corners, or he'll try to, you know, double down on the high post. in the short corners. It's a situation where it depends on his personnel as what he's going to do. I mean, do I have players that are quick enough to get from the wing to the corner? Or do I have players quick enough to come from the baseline to help trap on the sidelines? You know, those are the things that he takes into consideration, and those are the things that he teaches with whatever unit he has on the floor or whatever players he has to work with throughout the season. So, I mean, 2-3 zone, you know, it can be disguised in a lot of ways. I mean, you can match up out of it, or you can do all the trapping situations. You just have to be aware and have the athletes to say, we have to be quick on our movements in order to make these rotations and adjustments as the ball moves.
When you see the full court press instituted, speaking here with Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum Dale Shackelford, Boeheim says it's good for 2 minutes. It's good for a couple minutes. You don't want to tire the guys out too much and whatnot. But the critique has always come, well, when Boeheim uses it, it works. When Boeheim uses it, Syracuse gets turnovers. When he puts it out there, it changes the game. Are you surprised that it's only 2 minutes long? How do you view it? Because, you know, Boeheim says, we're good for 2 minutes, and then kind of laughs it off, and you don't want to see us after 2 minutes. What can you say about the full court press and its institution for a short period of time?
Well, I mean, we played it differently when, I played under Coach Boeheim. I mean, we pressed a lot. I mean, we pressed after every foul shot. We'd start out a game in a full court press. You know, we scored a basket. We're in a full court press. If we miss the foul shot, we're going to pick you up at zone at half court or three quarter court. So it varies and it differs on your personnel. I mean, Syracuse right now, they don't really have that big shot blocker in the back, even though Tyler Lydon is blocking shots. But Tyler Lydon is not a 7-footer that is going to cover some ground and has that that ability to intimidate guys who are going to come to the basket. People are going to test him more than they would test a player like Danny Shays or Roswell Boyd or Ronnie Cycling, 7-footers, Eitan Thomas. And they're going to challenge those guys. And there again, we don't have, the guards up front aren't as quick as some of the guys that, they've had in the past. That's where he feels that when he puts the press on, these guys understand that you have to go all out for an X amount of time and then we're done. And, you throw teams off. I mean, they threw to where, they didn't know what had hit them and if the storm was coming back because, they were playing timid after, even after Coach took the press off. So, it works in his favor and, he's got, he understands his players more than we do because he's with them every day. And, we can sit back and say, I'd like to see a, full court press, at least 10, 15 minutes a game. But, his personnel he just can't do that with, and he's not bringing enough guys off the bench to give these guys enough rest. I heard people talking, and watching the games, NIT games last night, that, they want to go to the four quarters in college because they're only, organized basketball that plays two halves. Everybody else plays four quarters. I mean, that four quarters will give you an extra break between quarters for these guys to get a little rest. So, who knows if that changes? Maybe coaches' strategies would change as far as how they press and how they play their defenses.
Absolutely, and you bring up a very good point. And speaking here with Dale Shackelford, Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum, if they are to switch, the women's side has done so. The men are still 20-minute halves and not in four quarters. Dale, finally for you, as a Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum, what do you want to say to the players as they head to the Final Four?
Playing well, do the things that you've done all season to, get to where you are right now. And play your hearts out, because right now, in an NCAA tournament, it's a one-game elimination. Right now, for this game here, there's no third-place game. So, you got to go out and play as hard as you can and enjoy it while you can. Because, sometimes some programs aren't as lucky to, be able to get there 6 or 7 years in a row, and we're all not like UConn women that dominating in their particular sport.
That coming from Dale Shackelford, Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum. Dale, as always, I appreciate it, and I know you've had some loss in the family, so God bless to you, and you're in our prayers, okay?
Thank you very much, Dan.
All right, take care.
I just want to say, hopefully the women's team does well also. I'm rooting for both of them. It's not a one-sided situation here. It's for the whole university.
Amen to that. And I want to let you know that you did get a shout out from some of the local politicians as well when they were remembering Jim Boeheim in the beginning. They shouted out Dale Shackelford, Roosevelt Bowie, and Louis Orr. So congrats to you. You are you're a famous man even when you're not around.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, man. Take care. That coming from Dale Shackelford, Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum, whom we talked about the women's team coming into it, and then he finished up there talking about the men's basketball team and said it's not a one-sided thing. He's cheering on both. He cares about both. He wants both to do well, and I hope that fans remember that as well. We'll take a step aside here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. When I come back, we're continuing this jam-packed broadcast. We have just gotten started here, folks. We're 3 hours that we're going to be doing this show here today, this episode of Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. You've heard from Ryan Blackwell and Dale Shackelford. You have yet to hear from Syracuse Orange men's basketball alumni. Coming up next, Lazarus Sims, followed by Gene Waldron, John Wallace, Leo Routens, Tyler Ennis, CJ Fair, and Rakeem Christmas. That's all coming up here, where sports meets life.
Here is Tommy from Woody's Jerkwater Pub and Grub.
Woody's is going into its 13th year, and you know, we started out as a what we thought was going to be a neighborhood corner bar, which has turned into, you know, a really good sports bar. We're adding 360-inch TVs. Just really a great place to have a beer and have some food. So that same Irish pub feel where you can go in there and relax and not worry about, you know, what's going on. I take pride in our food. We have burgers, wraps, salads, Cubans. Our wings, obviously, I think are some of the best in the city. We have a great Philly cheesesteak. We have a great Cuban. All my soccer players love the Buffalo Chicken Wrap.
Woody's Jerkwater Pub and Grub is located in the Mattydale Shopping Center off of Brewerton Road in Syracuse, New York.
Serving the Central New York community for over 6 decades, the Penn and Trophy Center, located on 111 East Willow Street in Syracuse, New York, is your home for custom engraving of plaques, awards, trophies, clocks, watches, as well as personalized gifts, sports awards, and so much more. When it comes to finding the right gift for anyone in your family, on your team, or in your business, the Penn and Trophy Center is the place to go. 111 East Willow Street in Syracuse, New York. Call now to set up an appointment, 315-422-8797. That's 315-422-8797. Or stop in at 111 East Willow Street in Syracuse, New York. And to see more from Penn and Trophy Center, go to pennandtrophy.com. That's pennandtrophy.com.
This is Dr. Tim Whiting of Sterp Chiropractic and Wellness Center. Here at Sterp Chiropractic, we strive to provide our patients with the highest quality of care in a comforting and welcoming atmosphere. We are not simply pain doctors. We spend time looking at the whole body and address each patient's needs and goals. This usually includes chiropractic adjustments, muscle work, and tips on nutrition and supplementation that fits each patient's needs. We want to develop a plan that promotes overall health and wellness and focuses on future injury prevention. Our office is located at 1628 West Genesee Street in Syracuse. Please give us a call at 315-472-7128 with any of your chiropractic or wellness needs.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. It is a sunny, bright, blue sky, beautiful day in Syracuse, New York. And the perfect day, I think Syracuse fans would say, in sending both of their teams, Syracuse women's basketball, led by Coach Q, and Syracuse men's basketball, led by Jim Boeheim, to their respective Final Fours in Indianapolis and Houston, respectively. And I'm very happy to have Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum on the show with me today, Lazarus Sims. Lazarus, joined by 8 other Syracuse men's basketball alumni that are on a jam-packed show today. You heard from Dale Shackelford, as well as Ryan Blackwell, and now Lazarus Sims, who was a part of the 1996 Final Four run, another team that wasn't supposed to get in the tournament, and then once they weren't supposed to win any games and were picked against all the way through, and they made it all the way to the championship game. So Lazarus knows what it feels like to be in these shoes, and I'm happy to have him here on the show. Lazarus, how you doing today?
I'm all right, Dan. How are things going?
Things are going well, man. Traveling a lot, but doing what I can. I'm happy Syracuse is is looking the part of spring a little bit more right now. I think God's shining kindly on Syracuse, New York at this moment.
Yeah, I think it just wanted to give our guys a good send-off while they go out to Houston and know that they're going to go out to some sun, so they might as well leave with some sun.
And when you look at, and I want to start with the women's side, because I know you've watched both the men's and women's teams. You watched the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight for the women most recently. What can you say about Coach Q and this women's team? I mean, they take down a storied program like Tennessee through history. They took down the number two team, South Carolina. This is a team that has heard it all. They don't belong. Some people probably didn't even know Syracuse had a women's basketball team. And here they are in the Final Four, first Sweet 16, first Elite Eight, first Final Four. Coach Q has put in a lot of work over the last 4 or 5 years, in my opinion, to get them to this point. What can you say about this year's team and what they look like to you when they're in these games?
So the girls have always been competitive from going back from when I was in college until now. Q's just up the level. He's just up to ante with his recruiting, with the girls he brought in, with just the total consistency of the aspect of the details that they show into the game. Q is a great coach, and he has a pure passion for the game and wants to win, and he instills that in his women as they play and as they practice, and it just shows all the work they put in. I think he's done a great job of maturing the team through the years, and it's his time. It's time for him to be on the national stage, and he got his girls, and they're ready to take advantage of it.
When you see them and what they're capable of doing, Brittany Sykes is somebody. I mean, we look at Daywon Coleman on the men's side that had to sit out 2 years and wait, went through injuries, and is finally on the court. The last time the team made it to the Final Four in 2013, he was sitting and watching. And then you look at Brittany Sykes that's gone through injury, fought to come back, and now she's going to a Final Four that she can play in. What can you say about Brittany Sykes and Daywon Coleman, two people that have had to wait their turn, but now have been paid off by waiting?
His year alone has been a success, even if they didn't make it this far. His success was just him getting back on the court after 3 years of not playing, almost 4 years of not playing basketball. Because just now he's pretty much almost a 4 year under his belt. He's maturing, and it's where I thought he would be for next year and ready to go. I think he's going, and Brittany's just a freak athlete who wasn't going to let the season hold her down.
When you look at this men's team, let's go back to 1996. They didn't think that you guys should be in the tournament. They didn't think that you should win a game. They picked against you every single round, all the way to the bitter end. What can you say about living that life that now this team in 2016, 20 years later, is living as well?
The key word is they. That's not putting the time in with you every day, dealing with the coaches, you know, going through the fire and fighting the good fight mentally and physically every day in practice with you and in your locker room. They can't tell you what you can't do and what you can do. So the key word is they. The team is running off of us and them and what we can do, not they. So the so-called experts and all those people, they got it wrong. And they won't admit they got it wrong. You know, 90% of them, but they got it wrong because, again, they can't judge a man's heart and a man's shoes until you walk into them. And this year they couldn't walk into the players of Syracuse shoes and walk and see what they put in and the time they put in. And they can just criticize what they saw. They couldn't. Some things you just can't see. You just got to go by faith. And Bayham has always had a good product. And with the tournament, it's a one-and-done tournament, and it's not always the best team. It's the best team clicking, and they're clicking.
Your team was honored 20 years this year of making it to the Final Four in a game in the Carrier Dome where Syracuse lost to Pittsburgh. And at that time, many people, the theys, were thinking, this team isn't going to make it anywhere. And look, they just disrespected the Final Four team from 1996. They didn't even win tonight. What does it mean to you that it is your 20-year anniversary, that this is the year of all years 20 years, you come back, you get honored with Otis Hale, Marius Giannullis, John Wallace, J.B. Riefsnyder. When all of you came back on the court this season, and now you see a team going off to the Final Four, a team that you got to be around, what type of special meaning does that put on being honored this year among all years?
It's funny and it's eerie because one of my good friends and I walk on, Carl Riggins, text me during this year's Sweet 16 and said how eerie this team looks to our year when we ran it. And it's so funny because first round, we're going in. Memphis is the number one seed overall in our conference, and we're coming out, going into our game, getting ready. We're going in our game before them. They play after us, and we're in the tunnel, and they see us. They're like, oh, we can't wait to see y'all in 2 days. Oh, it's going to be a good game, Memphis and Syracuse. And they get knocked off by a Drexel team with Malik Rose, not paying attention. So really focused on us, and it seems like the same thing happened to Michigan State. They wasn't paying attention and got, you know, knocked off by a team that nobody was expecting to beat them. They didn't have a chance. And then we did what we needed to do, and it sparked our run. And the same thing happened with this year's team. Everybody was saying, oh, they can win their first game, but they're going to lose the next game to Michigan State. They don't even meet Michigan State.
So you see that. You see those parallels. From player to player, do you see any parallels between the personnel that you had on the 1996 Final Four team and in this 2016 Final Four team for Syracuse?
Not really, because we had a pure point guard in me. Michael's doing a great job. John was probably the pure scorer in the NCAA at the time. Similarities would probably be closest is Roberson and Otis Hill. Otis kept a lot of things alive for us and damaged the board. Even the night he didn't score for us, which he did in the tournament, but the night he didn't score for us major points, he was on the boards for us. And if people are watching these games right now, Tyler Roberson is demanding and controlling the boards, and that's the difference. It's not his points, because even to finish off the last game, it wasn't his points. It was he got a tip ball which fell into Richardson's hand, and Richardson put it, and he put it back up for a layup. And then another tip ball that went out of bounds and got back to them. So it was the fact that his activity and the fact that he, you know, controlled the boards. Whether he got it or not, he was a participant of us getting it as a team.
So you look at Otis Hill in that comparison to Tyler Roberson. The fight of this team and the will of this team, do you see a similarity between them here in 2016 and your team in 1996? The chip on the shoulder, the bet against us every time. Like Mike Beniger said, thank you for the motivation. There's a lot of theys out there. I'm proud to say I was not one of the theys, the 90%ers. I was the 10% that was getting critiqued for thinking this team was capable in the preseason to make a run here, so I can gladly say I wasn't a they. But
yeah, and you didn't know what you were doing when you were saying it, right?
No,
you didn't know what you're doing. You're crazy.
Yeah, I was the crazy one. I was the one that, you know, got the looks walking through the tunnel with other people in the media. I had stories written about me, people talking about, you know, this guy has no idea what he's doing and why is he in this profession. But, you know, I tend to do my homework and I tend to pay attention. And I paid attention as a little kid in 1996, and I pay attention in 2016, believe it or not. So when you when you look at...
You know, the difference, and I know you're asking me the differences, the similarities to it is the common denominator is Boeheim. Boeheim's been there for the whole thing, and the team takes on his character. He's a feisty old guy, man, and he wants to win, and he's going to figure out how to win. He's one of the most brilliant offensive minds in the country, if not the... And he's going to figure out how to get his team in the right position to win and be at least in the position to win. And with the NCAA, if you at least give yourself a chance to be in the position to win and another team to make a mistake, then you take what you get. And Boeheim lives with that, and he'll take the scrutiny knowing that I put my team in the right position. Whether we win or lose, I did what's right for me. That's what they're doing right now. They're doing what's right for them.
Trevor Cooney is somebody that you and I have talked about a lot, Lazarus. I mean, this is a guy who I was at the pep rally earlier today. be, and that's why the show wasn't 9 a.m. to noon, and it's 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern time today, a different time, because I was out there seeing Trevor Cooney speak, and he had a lot of fans in there cheering on him, but he's had a lot of critiques over his time. Many people were ready to stamp him as the guy that missed the three-point shot that could have beat Pittsburgh in the ACC tournament and screwed us for the rest of Hull history of 2016 being in NCAA tournament time. And now Trevor Cooney is the guy that people have learned to love again. What can you say about Trevor? Yeah.
Love-hate relationship with him. I was that guy, too. You look at him like, really? And that's all you look at him. And Trevor appreciates them sharing him, but then you look at him like, really? He was just killing me the other day. He didn't want to talk to me. He didn't, probably didn't want to see me on the street. But now I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Right.
So it's just, you know, you take it for what it is, and you enjoy it, and you enjoy the ride. And that's what Trevor's doing.
Malachi Richardson and Tyler Lydon, and I'm going to throw Frank Howard in there because he doesn't get thrown in enough. He has good vision. He makes some good passes. He has made good plays in the NCAA tournament. He hit a big-time shot in the NCAA tournament from three-point range. He hit another one from inside the arc. What can you say about this freshman class and where they stack up, in your opinion, knowing that without them, Syracuse would be nowhere close to where they are today?
They're good, man. They're pretty good, and they got some resolve. Like I said, Frank wasn't playing for a long part of the season with illness or injury, so what may have it be. But Tyler and Richardson has been the focal group since the season started. They had to be thrown into the fire, and they went through it, and they dealt with it, and they prevailed. So it shows the resolve and also the confidence Boeheim had and the coaching staff had in them to develop them during the season to let them learn with their mistakes.
There are a lot of people that are talking right now, and it's very ironic because I was having the conversation with Leo Routens recently, and while I'm having the conversation with him, I'm getting messages on social media from people, hey, Dan, Malachi, Tyler Lydon, are they leaving? Are they staying? Are they leaving? Are they staying? And I know that we live in a world where the NBA drafts on potential, and I know that there are going to be people in the media that are going to try and push, like Adrian Autry said to me with Chris McCullough last year. He's like, you know, some people in your profession, they push and they push and they actually can change the mindset of a player when they shouldn't be nagging and getting involved in that respect. Like maybe Chris McCullough would have seen himself in a different light if not for the way that he was presented things by certain people in the media. When you look at Malachi and you look at Tyler Lydon, you know they're going to get these questions now, win or lose, are you staying, are you going? How do you handle this scenario, and what would be your advice to Malachi and Tyler Lydon?
Well, me and Malachi talked during the season. We talked a few times in the beginning, earlier in the season, and we talked about his role and what was important, and I talked to him about kind of like a Chris Joseph role. Chris was, we had Wesley and Andy, who was our main guy, which they have Trevor and Michael, who was the main guy, but Chris was the factor. And if you notice in the turn right now, Malachi's a factor, the fact that he's attacking the rim. He's the one guy that's constantly attacking the rim. And we had this conversation that I told him I need him to get to the free throw line at least 4 or 5 times a half. And if he does that, whether he gets there or not, is different from you just trying to get there. It changes the game. Now, whether he will take 4 or 5 free throws a half, maybe not. But him getting into the paint, him changing the dynamics of the game and defense is how they ought to adjust to them is the reason why they're being pretty successful right now.
What would you say to all the people that are worried that they're going to lose Tyler Lydon and Malachi Richardson?
Can't worry about that. You got to enjoy them for now. Enjoy them for what you're doing and enjoy them for what they're giving you and let the chips fall as they may. If these young fellas get the opportunity to go make some money and better themselves, better their lives, or their immediate family, then you just got to say thank you for the time you gave me. And I think they're giving them a good ride right now. You just got to enjoy what they're giving you.
Could you see them going? I mean, do you think, I mean, you played obviously professionally overseas and you've seen, you know, what John Wallace did moving forward. Can you see Tyler Lydon and Malachi? Now, I can see them in the NBA after next season. Can you see them right now?
We saw a couple of our young guys leave early where everybody thought we could see them going, and you see they're in the D League and overseas, you just never know. When the NBA is looking at kids as far as potential, but a lot of these young guys aren't ready. You know, tournament and stuff shows guys in at a glimpse. They're having a good time right now. But the NBA, you got to be consistent. You got guys where you're going in an NBA and you're trying to get their spot. It's not easy. That's not an easy task to fill. And to do it, you know, once a week in college is different than doing it every night in the NBA when guys try to make a roster, 12-man roster.
Right.
And it's not college kids, it's grown men.
So lastly for you, to Malachi, to Tyler Lydon, to Frank Howard, to the entire team, Mike, Trevor, Daywan, and Tyler Roberson as well, what do you want the team to know? What are your words for them as they move forward into the Final Four?
However it goes, I'm proud of them and that they put an effort out every four. I'm proud of the effort. Whatever the score is, whatever the scores have been, whatever the wins and losses columns are, the effort has always been the same night, not applaud them guys for coming out and showing it every night with fair weather fans, with good fans, with road fans, to come out every night and produce and give it your best and deal with the consequences, good or bad. I think these guys should be applauded.
What does it take to win on this stage? Can you impart any knowledge to them on what it takes to be a team that's spurned and not believed in and constantly picked against to be at this point? What does it take to win here?
Be yourself. Don't try to go prove anybody wrong. Go try to do what you've been doing and stick with your game plan and just pretty much execute it a little better, but don't try to be a hero.
And lastly for you, speaking here with Lazarus Sims, Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum, your statement, your team statement was Cuse is in the house, oh my God. Now that's come back, but there's also been John Wallace said it to me in a text message. Derek Coleman put it out there. Houston, we have a problem. Which one do you like better?
That's a good one for this year, definitely. I like that one for this year, definitely.
Okay.
But I'm a Cuse in the house guy. We're always, because we're coming in Cuse, we're coming to Houston, they have a problem, but we're in the house.
Well, fair enough to say. Bring them both together. So Lazarus is for bonding
so
the two.
Could be Houston, you have a problem. We're in the house.
There you go. Well, Lazarus, as always, it's an honor and a privilege. And I know you're not heading down to Houston because your former teammate Tyrone Albright is with Syracuse Select coaching your 11-year-old son, and you're going to be cheering on your son. So let me say, from somebody who looks forward to being a father someday to someone who is, thank you for being there for your son, and I'm sure he appreciates it.
Yeah, I hope you do at one point. You know, I'm just dad right now. So I appreciate that.
All right, man, you too. Take care. That's Lazarus Sims, Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum. It's been a jam-packed show. I love my job. Let me just say that. I mean, I'm sitting here in the studio. I got chills on my shoulders. I love doing this. Talking to people about life and positivity and good feelings and just being around positive people, man, get yourself away from negative people. And when they chase you, man, run faster. But don't ever let it get you down, because it's the world has changed when you're around good people. I want to thank Ryan Blackwell, Dale Shackelford, and Lazarus Sims, Syracuse Orange men's basketball alumni, that have joined me on today's show. But we're not done. Gene Waldron after the break, coming up next. Then John Wallace, then Leo Routens, then Tyler Ennis, then CJ Fair and Rakeem Christmas. This show is packed. 9 Syracuse Orange men's basketball alumni are joining me today. I keep pushing the term, keep pushing the envelope. We pushed it again in this episode. And coming up next is none other than Gene Waldron. And I'll talk to you in just a moment.
A live game day experience unlike anything you've ever seen is at Orange Crate Brewing Company on 721 South Krause Avenue in Syracuse, New York, down the road from the Carrier Dome, and at the Orange Crate Express on 309 East Seneca Street in Manlius, New York, the former Ugly Duckling. You're pre-gaming with us at Orange Crate Brewing Company on 721 South Krause Avenue in Syracuse for all Syracuse Orange football and men's basketball home games. And for the away games, you're pre-gaming with us at Orange Crate Express on 309 East Seneca Street in Manlius, New York. Wake up call game day live. Whether it's a night out on the town, going out and grabbing a drink, or coming out and seeing the game, you're going to Orange Crate Brewing Company on 721 South Krause Avenue in Syracuse and the Orange Crate Express at 309 East Seneca Street in Manlius. Pre-game with Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora and our special guests throughout the Syracuse Orange football and Syracuse Orange men's basketball seasons.
Carvel DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like. Do you know why? Because we make ice cream. Creamy, rich, flavorful ice cream. Not yogurt or iced milk like some of our competitors. Ice cream. Fresh, by hand, daily. For the calorie conscious, we have something new for you. Our new Carvelite. Same great flavor, creaminess, and texture of our regular ice cream with only 35 calories an ounce. So whether you want an ice cream cake, flying saucer, dasher, carvelanche, hard or soft ice cream, we will satisfy your craving with our fresh, handmade regular or new Carvelite ice cream. Carvel DeWitt. It's what happy tastes like.
Clothing that will change with you without you having to change. DreissigLady.com, 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 with the Bamboo Line Relaxed Fit Clothing as well as the Athletic Fit Clothing. DreissigLady.com is fit for any woman, any time of the day, anywhere. Whatever you're doing, whatever your day commands of you, command yourself to feel comfortable. In Dreissig Lady Apparel, DreissigLady.com. Lady.com. For all the women out there, feel good in what you're wearing, and don't feel like you have to constantly change throughout the day. Whether you're a stay-at-home mom, a business owner, going for a jog, going for a meeting, or just relaxing at home, DreissigLady.com is the right fit for you. DreissigLady.com. Lady.com.
Cam's Pizzeria isn't just a pizza place, it's a piece of home. Whether you're in Baldwinsville, Camillus, Oswego, or on Lemoyne Plaza, Tony Calcibetta finds a way to give you something that you can't find anywhere else. You got to get something to eat, you're going to get something to eat. You're not in your own home. Well, when you go to Cam's Pizzeria in Baldwinsville, Camillus, Lemoyne Plaza, and Oswego, those locations give you the feeling of just being at home, relaxing, being comfortable. There's nothing like going out and getting good food, and Cam's Pizzeria will give you that. From their traditional slice to pepperoni to my favorite, the cheeseburger pizza, which you have to try, as well as buffalo chicken, chicken bacon ranch, and the other specialties and favorites they have. It's not just about the pizza. It's about the relationships. It's about building a bigger family. And Tony Calcibetta has been all about that since day one, which is why I wanted to work with him, which is why I want to send you there. Because when you sit down in a Cam's Pizzeria, you feel like you're sitting at home. You feel like you can be there with your family, your friends, to study, to have a meeting, or maybe to meet the best person you'll ever find in your life. I know that when I go to Cam's, I truly feel like I'm just walking to another room in my house. I'm just having great pizza in a great atmosphere. A place where I feel comfortable, where I feel appreciated. A place that isn't just a pizza place, but a piece of home. Go to camspizzeria.com right now to get the addresses to the Camillus, Baldwinsville, Lemoyne Plaza, and Oswego locations. Camspizzeria.com. That's C-A-M-S pizzeria.com. Cam's Pizzeria. Truly an experience that you'll always want to come back to.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. I don't think this man knows how famous he is. When I put out that I'm talking to Gene Waldron on my show, it's one of the biggest posts that I get on social media, on Facebook and Twitter. So I don't think Gene knows just how far Gene goes in this world of Syracuse faithful. So I'm bringing him onto the show right now. And I could say these good things about him because I know he doesn't get a big head. I know he's a humble guy that does good things in this world. So, Gene, how does it feel to be famous?
Well, I don't consider myself famous. I'm normal just like everybody else. I just had a great opportunity, you know, to make things right, and I'm doing that right now.
And you and I have discussed this team throughout the season. You know my picks, my thoughts. You knew back in October that, you know, I had Syracuse here at the top of the ACC. I was the now when you make a prediction, as you know, you don't know what 700 to 900 other people are going to do. You don't know that you're going to be the only person that picks a school to be at the top. There was one person that picked Notre Dame. There was one person that picked Florida State. And there was one person that picked Syracuse. Syracuse was mine. Now, I didn't know that that was going to cause scrutiny, that was going to put a spotlight or anything like that. I will say thank you for the spotlight because it paid off. But what can you say about that? I mean, this is a team that very, very few people believed in back in October, and now there's 351 Division I men's basketball schools. There's only four left, and Syracuse is one of them.
Well, for me, you know, always at the beginning of the season, I bleed orange through and through. So I'm always going to think Syracuse is going to go all the way. There's no doubt in my mind that I ever think otherwise. Anytime I do a bracket, Syracuse is always winning the whole thing. That's just how I am. I just bleed orange. So, but what you did was really bold. You know, what you did was really bold. And look at it. Now you can look at all those people and say, I told you so.
True. That's very true. That's what my grandma always said. She's like, you stick by what you stick by, and you do what you believe, and then you can always say, I told you so. So credit to grandma. She's 99, about to be 100 years old, and she still watches her basketball. So God bless her for
that. That's great.
She's an amazing woman. So that's a feat that very few people can get to, and I'm looking forward to her getting to 100 this year. But Gene, you know,
awesome.
Yeah, it's very awesome. When you look at, and I want to start with the women's team, you know, talking about grandma, let's start on the women's side of things. The Syracuse women's basketball team has never made the Sweet 16, never made the Elite Eight, never made the Final Four. They are not just going to the Final Four in Indianapolis. They sprinted there. They beat Tennessee by 22 points. They scored at will. What can you say about Coach Q, this women's team, and knowing that there's only 12 schools in the history of basketball collegiately that have ever sent their women and their men to the Final Four in the same year?
I think what he's done with that program is phenomenal. From where it was to where he's taking it right now, and the fact that they're in the Final Four, and I watched some of those games, and the way that he's got them playing, he's got them pressing, he's got them playing aggressive defense. Offensively, they've got so many different weapons. What he's done is just brilliant. I have to take my hat off to him. He's done an excellent job at that program.
When you see Coach Q and you see Jim Boeheim and they're both going, this is something that is a historical moment for the both of them. Jim has been there five times now, and Q is doing it for the first time. What does it say about Syracuse as a whole and what they've been able to put together and in what they're creating? There's always been so much of a focus on Jim Boeheim, but for Coach Q, who has worked so diligently and so hard to put his team on the map, to tell people that there is a Syracuse women's basketball team, what can you say about kind of looking at it from two different perspectives? Jim is supposed to be there, but not this year, and Coach Q is never supposed to be there. So let's look at it from the perspective of Jim Boeheim was not supposed to get a chance this year, and Coach Q is never supposed to get one.
Well, you know, I think for me you have to look at the athletic program, the whole athletic program as a whole, with all the programs, the, you know, lacrosse, soccer, every program has actually gotten better over the years. We've been able to get quality kids to come to Syracuse and be student athletes. You know, and that's a contribute to the university and the standards that we set.
To move forward here with this men's basketball team, speaking with Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum Gene Waldron. Gene, Tyler Roberson is someone who took some heat from Boeheim, has gone through the trenches, has dealt with it, and he is a soft-spoken guy. It's funny, like, he'll look at me when I talk to him, but when I'm in the locker room, as soon as I turn my camera on, he doesn't look at the camera. He's very soft-spoken. He's very, like, to himself. Boeheim kind of joked about it over this past weekend in Chicago. But when he's on the court, he's a different bird. He's a different person. He plays extremely tenacious, and he's being consistent right now. Everything Boeheim was asking of him and wanting of him, he's starting to see. What can you say about Tyler Roberson in this NCAA tournament to get to the Final Four and just how important he's been to the team?
Well, I think for one thing, I think when Coach Boeheim called him out, because he did, I think Tyler Robinson, I think he responded to that like any basketball player should. He went out there, he's doing his job, he's doing what's asked of him, he's rebounding. You know, even if he's not getting a rebound, he's getting his hand on the ball, he's getting able to slap it out, but, you know, he's getting a couple of baskets, and he's really playing that zone very, very well. You know, and I just think that's, you know, you got to put a lot of that down to the coaching staff, you know, the way that they get these, got him into a mindset that, you know, they can win. You know, they can win this whole thing. And I just think that the way that he's playing right now, when you see him out there, he just looks so focused. And, you know, you have to be that way in NCAA, because if you lose, you're gone.
To see this team excel at the time that they're doing it, you and I have talked about games going into Virginia, but coming out of the Virginia game, nobody turns around Virginia from 16-point ahead in the second half of a game or in a game in general. Virginia is one of those teams that they'll work and they'll slowly eat away at you, and once they control you, they're not going to let go of you until the game's over. Syracuse was able to turn Virginia and a 22-point swing down 16 to winning by 6. Bring me into that game through your eyes. What did you see that stuck out to you the most in Syracuse doing something that was unheard of to Virginia?
I think probably the biggest thing is that we changed the tempo. The last 5 or 6 minutes, we changed the tempo. We started to press a little bit and speed them up. And then I think they got uncomfortable with that because they're used to playing that slow down, you know, take their time. And I think as we sped the game up, at the later minutes, they started to fold. And then we got some momentum. And I think that just took us all the way home for the victory. But we did it in great style. I mean, we didn't get panicky or anything like that. I think they handled it very well, the press. And when we got the shots, we made shots, we rebounded, and we played excellent defense on that press. And I think that just took them right out of the game, and then we had the momentum. There was no stopping us then.
Tyler Lydon, we spoke about Tyler Roberson here with Gene Waldron, Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum. Tyler Lydon, the true freshman, 6 blocks against Middle Tennessee State, 6 blocks against Gonzaga, 5 blocks against Virginia, 17 blocks in the last three games for the NCAA tournament Syracuse play. What can you say about the defensive presence of a man who was told and continuously told to this day, you need to get bigger, you need to get in the weight room, you're not strong enough, you're not going to be able to go toe-to-toe with these guys. He has 17 blocks in 3 games. What can you say?
Well, I just think his play speaks for itself. You know, he goes out there, he's fearless, he goes after loose balls, he goes after rebounds, he goes after block shots, and he also hits some big shots. I mean, he hit one big shot against Virginia that was almost half court. It was deep. I mean, he plays with a lot of confidence, and that's the one thing I like about him, that he plays with so much confidence. And I think, you know, when you've been told that you can't do this, you can't do that, I think he's proven that he can do what they said that he can't do. So, I'm very proud of the way he's been playing this year.
Malachi Richardson had 23 against Virginia in January. He got back up to that number against Virginia in the NCAA tournament, but he did it in the second half. He was 0 for 5 in the first half. What can you say about Malachi Richardson? Now, I said I think it was like a few games in, I said, Malachi hits, and I put the hashtag out, tournament threes. He makes tournament-style threes. That's how he plays his game. And, you know, my definition of tournament threes are threes under pressure, threes when you need them the most, threes when you can change the momentum, threes that are by half court. Those are the threes I'm talking about. What can you say about Malachi, his ability, his presence, and how he was kind of playing like a tournament player in the regular season, and now he's doing it when they really needed him? Without Malachi, there's no chance against Virginia.
Well, I think one of the biggest things about him is that even though he was 0 for 5, or that, you know, some of the games he had scored early, you always know he's going to get going, no matter what. He is always going to get going. And I think Coach Boeheim gives him that leeway to, you know, get himself going. You know, even when he was 0 for 5, I said to my wife, he's going to get going. I said, he's just too good of a player not to.
You know, when you look at this, his skill set, you know, a kid that could put the ball to the floor, drive to the basket, shoot the jump shot. I mean, he's got all the tools. He's got all the tools that, you know, it's going to make him a great Syracuse player.
Now, I've gotten the question, and obviously it's going to come up. Do you think that Malachi is going to leave? Do you think that Tyler Lydon's going to leave? What's your perspective on this? Because this is a question that I'm getting, and this has been my answer. I'll preface it with this. I said, listen, when you look at Tyler Lydon and Malachi Richardson, if NBA teams, if Boeheim makes some calls and the scouts are like, listen, we want to take him first round, going to give him millions of dollars, then that changes it. And you say, okay, would you turn away $5 million? Would you turn away an opportunity at this? But in my opinion, as it stands right now, if that's not happening, Malachi and Tyler Lydon are better served with one more year. With the guys that they have coming in, I think they can make a run at this thing next year too. So how do you view it from Malachi and Tyler Lydon and the question of now they're in the Final Four, they have a lot of exposure, will they leave?
Well, I think Tyler Lydon, I think he's definitely going to come back. I can't see him go put his name into the draft. I just don't see that. But Malachi, you just never know. The way that he's been playing, and, you know, once you get to these mini camps and you get into these workouts, you get so much better. I think, you know, it's something that I hope he's not thinking about right now. I hope he's just thinking about North Carolina. If out of the two, I would think that he would be the one that probably wouldn't come back, but I think that he should. I think that they both should.
To look at the veterans that aren't coming back after this year, Mike Benajay, Trevor Cooney, they have had nothing to lose, and they've played that way. I want to start with Mike Benajay and what he has meant to this team and the caliber of player he's been, from coming from Duke, playing about 6 minutes a game in 19 games, scoring 1.7 points per game, to being a guy coming off of Syracuse's bench, to being somebody that Boeheim would put in for 2 minutes or 5 minutes or 10 minutes here and there, and now being a starter all the way through, 36 games, 36 times in double figures. Just what you have seen in his growth, and if you believed that he was capable of this as well, if you thought he could get here.
Oh, there's no question in my mind. I knew he was going to be capable because I've seen the way that he worked from the day that he got to Syracuse. He never stopped working on his game. He's never stopped working on his game, and to see the way that he's playing right now just proves it. He works so hard on his jump shot, free throws, the ball handling. I mean, that was a big task for him to have to take over that point guard position when he's never played it before, and he's done that one heck of a job doing it.
And then on the side of Trevor Cooney, he's obviously the guy that's been looked at of make threes, make threes, make threes. Now, defensively, stealing the ball, going after rebounds, when the ball gets tipped by a Roberson or a Lydon, being there for it against Virginia in the NCAA tournament, as well as attacking inside, making his free throws. Trevor Cooney, in my opinion, and I said this when I watched his high school film, he's a good all-around player that shouldn't just be considered a three-point shooter. Now, years later, I'm going to mimic myself, I'm going to echo myself and say, he is a good all-around player. He's not just a three-point shooter. What can you say about Trevor Cooney at this point?
Well, I think, you know, when he came in, everybody was saying that's all he could do is shoot the ball. But if you watch, he takes the ball to the basket, he gets steals, he dives for loose balls, he plays good defense. He is a good all-around player who never, ever gives up. Even when comes out the game, there's no frown, and he's such a team player. And that's the type of kid that you want on your team. You know, when he's out of the game, you can see him. He's cheering for the players. And when he comes back in, he's always focused, and one thing I like about him is that he never gives up. He always plays hard, no matter what. Up 20, down 20, he plays hard.
What can you say about Daywon Coleman, who's somebody that we haven't brought up yet, and Frank Howard we have to talk about as well to round out the seven? Daywon, speaking here with Gene Waldron, Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum, he has been doing things that I think go unnoticed because Tyler Roberson stepped his game up. So Daywon Coleman's rebounds, maybe people don't see him as much, but Daywon has been out there grabbing rebounds, protecting the ball. He used to not protect the ball very well, get the ball slapped out of his hands. He told me one-on-one, he said, you know, listen, I've been working on this, getting the ball high, bringing it down, pulling it in real tight to my chest, and having two hands on it and not letting scrappy guards try and slap it away from me thinking that he can't hold on to it. I want to go into Daywon's rebounding as well as his free throw shooting and his overall presence, because he's someone that people have critiqued to no end. And all of a sudden, in the last 10, 15 games, let's say 10 games, people have let up on him, and I think it's because he's doing his job. How do you see Daywon at this point?
Well, I think you have to cut the kid a break, full stop. I mean, when you look at what he's been through, I mean, he hasn't played basketball in a while, and then for him to come back and do what he's doing, I mean, he starts the game, and before you know it, he comes out, he's on the bench, and then he's back in, never frowns upon it. He goes out there, he does his job, and he's gotten better at his position. You know, so I take my hat off to him, because not a lot of players, I think, could put up with what he's had to go through and still come out on the other end smelling like a rose. He's done an excellent job, especially with the rebounding. I really like the way, like you said, he's getting that rebound and the ball is not getting smacked away from him. And there's been a couple of times he's got a couple of baskets here and there. But you know what? For the minutes that he's getting, not complaining. You think from where he came from, All-American, got hurt, hasn't played, and to where he's at right now, you can't do nothing but applaud the kid. You know, now he's in the Final Four. I'm happy for him.
And Frank Howard, someone who has increasingly gotten more minutes. Normally when Boeheim, if he doesn't give you the minutes in the regular season, you're not getting them in the tournament.
That's for sure.
Frank has been the, he has been the yin to the yang of Boeheim's typical ways. He has earned more time, and he told me that recently Boeheim pulled him, I think it was the Gonzaga game we were talking about, and you can watch the video on youtube.com/wakeupcalldt for everybody listening in. Plenty of videos there. He said to me, Boeheim grabbed me at halftime and said, you got to make me believe in you as a point guard. You got to make me have faith in you, trust in you as a point guard. And Frank is someone who I think, you know, Malachi's out there and Tyler Lydon's out there, so Frank's behind them to a lot of people. But Boeheim has really said, you know what, if I give you a little and you give me back a little, then I'm going to give it back to you. What can you say about Frank Howard kind of defeating the tests of Boeheim and getting to a point where he's obviously being trusted a little bit more?
Well, you know, through the course of the year, he was getting opportunities, and he wasn't really playing up to coach's standards. But coach still believed in him a little bit and gave him minutes and gave him a few more minutes. And then as the season got, you know, was going on, he got a lot better. For me, I really liked the way he handles the ball, you know. Just a little bit more confident with the ball when he has it, especially when Malachi's out there, because I think they work well together. He's a great passer. He's got great vision, and I think he's taking this opportunity and running with it.
Overall, what do you want to say to the team, Gene? You care about this team. You're an alum of this team.
I love that team.
What should they know about you, you know, with that love? What are your words for them as they head into the Final Four?
Just keep playing the way that you're playing, you know, 40 minutes. That's all it is. It's 40 minutes, one play at a time, and let's just see what happens. Leave it all out there. And you know everybody in upstate New York is going to be rooting for the Orange. So I say go Orange.
Well, as always, Gene Waldron, a pleasure having here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. And Gene, you know that I'll be in touch with you from down in Houston, Texas, and I appreciate everything that you always do and what you do for the community as well.
All right, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
All right, I'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye-bye.
Take care. So once again, Gene Waldron, Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum. In a jam-packed show today, you have heard from Ryan Blackwell, Dale Shackelford, Lazar Sims, and Gene Waldron. Coming up next after my break, John Wallace will be joining me live, and then we will hear from Leo Routens, Tyler Ennis, CJ Fair, and Rakeem Christmas, rounding out a jam-packed Syracuse Orange men's basketball and women's basketball send-off to the Final Four These are the words that are coming from Syracuse Orange men's basketball alumni to Coach Q as well as to Jim Boeheim and to the respective players on the women's basketball and men's basketball teams. So it has been an honor and a privilege here in my studio for Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora to share with you these conversations. And coming up next right after the break is none other than John Wallace, who knows what it's like to be the guy and the team that's disrespected, unappreciated, underrated, and kicking butt all the way through to the Final Four and then some. He'll be with me next to talk to me about what it's like to go through this road, to go through these trials and tribulations, and to come out in the national championship game. John Wallace comes up next here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on wakeupcalldt.com and mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt.
All the great flavors of Utica Pizza Company right at your doorstep. It's a Utica thing. Family-owned restaurant on wheels for festivals, parties, receptions, and more, including lunch stops right by your office building. Call It's a Utica Thing and have them come to your next event. 315-738-8946. That's 315-738-8946. The flavors of Utica Pizza Company, authentic recipes right by you with an authentic menu. You choose the menu, you choose the place. Call now to reserve. It's a Utica Thing, the family-owned restaurant on wheels. 315-738-8946. That's 315-738-8946.
Gear up with the real deal at Dreissig Apparel, the best place for you to go when it comes to finding your image, creating what people are going to see and learn about you before they even meet you. At DreissigApparel.com, that's D-R-E-I-S-S-I-G Apparel.com, you have the opportunity to not only outfit your team well, but also to outfit your business, outfit your event, outfit your breast cancer walk. When it comes to looking good and feeling comfortable in your own skin, the only place to go is Dreissig Apparel. DreissigApparel.com. Gear up for what you need for your team, business, or event. To look professional, look good, and feel good, outfit yourself at DreissigApparel.com. That's DreissigApparel.com. The only place to gear up with the real deal. What's the universal language of a fan? Clapping your hands. With Fan Hands, the ultimate sports fan accessory, found on fanhands.com. That's FANHANDS.com. I can take that and enhance that for you, make it even better, even stronger than it's been before. Be the loudest fan without ever having to lose your voice by choosing one of 11 different colors, always in stock on fanhands.com, and all you have to do is clap your hands, something you've done every single game since you were a kid. Fanhands.com, get your favorite pair of fan hands right now. Find your team color, slip them on, and start cheering on your favorite team with 11 different colors, always in stock on fanhands.com, where you'll find the ultimate sports fan accessory. Fanhands.com. That's FANHANDS.com. Real fans wear fan hands.
I'm George Townsend of Honda City with some good advice when buying a new car. The true cost of owning a new car is determined by the appraised value when you trade it. No vehicle appraises higher than a Honda. Next, look for low APRs and deep discounts. You also want low maintenance costs and great fuel economy. That's why my advice to you is to buy a new Honda. Looking pre-owned, visit our Honda Certified Used Car Center. Honda City, 7140 Henry Clay Boulevard, Liverpool, or HondaCity-CNY.com.
It would be a pity if you don't shop.
There's more than meets the eye at Utica Pizza Company on 628 South Main Street in North Syracuse, New York. Located in the Main's Plaza near Sweetheart Corners at the intersection of Route 11 and Taft Road, Utica Pizza Company is the proud home of homemade recipes that have withstood the test of time from generation to generation to reach your plate today. Dine in or get takeout by calling 315-214-3060. That's 315-214-3060. 3060 for takeout from Utica Pizza Company, which is now the proud home of the Wake Up Call special, Chicken Salt and Boca, available 7 days a week for lunch and dinner. Go to Utica Pizza Company Monday through Sunday, open for you on 628 South Main Street in North Syracuse, New York. Located in the Mains Plaza near Sweetheart Corners at the intersection of Route 11 and Taft Road.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. Here on the show, live throughout this show today, talking about Syracuse Orange women's and men's basketball. You have heard from the likes of Syracuse Orange men's basketball alumni Ryan Blackwell, Dal Shackelford, Lazara Sims, Gene Waldron. You will be hearing from John Wallace coming up. You'll also hear from Leo Routens, Tyler Ennis, C.J. Fair, and Rakeem Christmas. And as we wait for John Wallace to come on to the show live here with me in studio here for Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, I'm going to take a few minutes here to honor what these teams have been doing. As I said, 12 schools in the history of college basketball sending their men's and women's program to the Final Four. Now, UConn did it a few years back with their men's team and their women's team both winning the national championship. And wouldn't that be something if Syracuse men's team made it to the championship game and won, and then the women's team made it to the championship game and won, and most likely against UConn. So Syracuse would beat an old rival and a team that they've struggled with women's basketball-wise forever. And if Syracuse was able to do it, then they would be another school to win a national championship for men's and women's basketball over the team that just did it and the school that just did it recently. So that would truly be something. And Breonna Stewart being on UConn's side and being a Central New York native, a CNS North Star, that's, you know, there's a lot of storytelling to that as well. So you definitely want to make sure that you pay attention and look at it. Like Dal Shackelford said, this is not a one-team deal. He's paying attention to women's basketball and men's basketball. I want to commend Floyd Little, who's been traveling with the women's team and supporting them and walked out with them today. And then Dino Babers, who came out for the men's side and was there for the men's Elite Eight game that advanced them to the Final Four. But isn't it funny and isn't it ironic that the NCAA took away 101 wins from Jim Boeheim, vacated 101 of his victories? And now Jim's been fighting to get a few more back and extending it a little bit. In a year that he was given a 9-game suspension, which has never happened for him, in a year that he had 101 wins taken away from him, which has never happened for him, here's Jim Boeheim in the Final Four in a year where he has been smacked multiple times by the NCAA. He turns around and heads to the NCAA's biggest stage. He has 884 wins right now, according to the NCAA, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you that he has 985 because you can't take away wins from games that already happened. I know that they try to hurt the legacy of a coach by doing something like that. You know, Brandon Trish was talking to me about it when I was down in Chicago on that live show that you can hear on WakeUpCallDT.com on the homepage. You can also hear it by downloading the app wakeupcalldt.podbean.com/mobile. You can download the app there. There's over 640 shows, and you'll never miss a moment of it. You download the app, you put it right onto your phone or whatever device you have, and you'll be able to click right on it. The most recent show's on top, and then you can scroll down to older shows, but you never miss a moment, and it's timeless. If I'm talking about the Sweet 16, still the things that are said by my guests are going to live with beyond the test of time. Same with the Elite Eight, Final Four, and so on. So if you missed a show, make sure you go back and listen to it and take some time with it. Jim Boeheim, 985 wins officially, and only 884 wins as it stands right now if you're looking at the NCAA. But either way, he took a team that, in my opinion, and in the opinion of Syracuse Orange alumni that you've heard on the show today, this was the team that out of every team Jim has taken to the Final Four, and he's taken five teams there, that you would not expect this to be the team that would do it. 1996 was a team that was picked against. 2013, there was a team that people did not expect. 2003, you could say that many did expect Syracuse to make them to do something, to make some type of a move, but still they were a 3 seed in that bracket. They weren't even a 1 seed in that one, and they began the season unranked, which is what this team did in 2016. And then back in 1987, you know, there wasn't an expectation for Syracuse to make it to the Final Four. So, and in 75, you look at that as well, with a team that was losing games in the beginning and then bounced back. So without further ado, we bring on to the show here John Wallace, who has just joined me here on the phone line. And John is going to be talking with me about this team and give me his opinion if he thinks this is the most unlikely Final Four team that he's seen from Syracuse and so much more. It's always a pleasure to have a good friend on the show. John Wallace, how you doing?
What's up, my man? How you doing?
I'm doing well. And, you know, it's Cuse in the house, oh my God. I mean, that has been, you know, that's withstood 20 years of time. But Houston, we have a problem, is starting to get some traction. So what do you think about the new quote, so to speak?
I love it. That's the minute we won the game, I sent that text out to everyone saying, Houston, we have a problem. I can't wait, man. I stopped in and talked to Coach Boeheim for a little bit yesterday. I'm really looking forward to it. You know, the guys are ready. We're playing well, and I just can't wait for the game Saturday night.
John, when you stopped in and you spent some time with Jim Boeheim, he has said that he could not have been happier than he was this year to find out the team was in the NCAA tournament. And then to see this team advance to the Final Four, speaking about how much this has meant to him that this year's team did it. What can you say about this year's team? You knew what it was like in 1996, backs against the wall and everybody saying you don't deserve it. When you look at 2016, do you see 1996 all over again, or is it different?
Commented on it yesterday that the run they're making this year is even more improbable than the run we made, because, you know, they're making a run as a 10 seed. You know, coming from that perspective and sort of on the outside looking in, their run was even more incredible, because, you know, as a 10 seed to make it to the Final Four is just an incredible feat in itself. And, you know, I don't want to – this is not about 96 at all. This is about 2016, the way that the team has come together, the way that the young guys are stepping up and playing like seasoned vets, and the way that our veterans are playing the way, you know, like veterans are supposed to play, and, you know, what's expected of them. We just got to keep that up, you know. Like Coach said, it was like a two-point game like 40 seconds ago or some down in North Carolina with the ball. We'll take that. You know, we'll take those. You know, we'll take that again. So, you know, it's not like, you know, it's impossible win or something. It's a very winnable game. We just got to come out and play our game.
When you look at, like you said, this isn't about 96. It's about 2016. I do want to say one thing, because it was paid tribute to you and Otis Hill and Marius Janulis and J.B. Reeve-Snyder and Donovan McNabb and Lazarus Sims, and the list goes on and so forth. 1996 was 20 years ago, and that team was honored at the Carrier Dome in the game this season against Pittsburgh at home. Now, a lot of fans in that crowd looked around and said, okay, Syracuse is honored for 20 years ago, but they lost to Pittsburgh in this game. There's no way. There's some people that turned their backs on the program that didn't believe that Syracuse could do it. And then here they are in 2016 in the Final Four out of 351 NCAA Division I men's basketball programs. To be honored on the court, and now to know that this team is there too and that you got to be around this team, what does the moment feel like looking back on it now, knowing that the year that you were honored and the team that you got to meet and talk with is the team that is now being honored in 2016?
It's incredible, man. It really is. You know, getting back together with everyone. going is always a good time. Some of the guys I see more often than others. Some guys I haven't seen in a while, so it's really good to see them. But, you know, the fact that we were able to kind of share the court for that, you know, a little bit of time, even though we ended up losing that game, the way they're playing now, they're going to make up for, you know, anything that was said during the season, anyone that doubted them, you know, they've more than made up for whatever was said about them. And me being the true fan, like most Syracuse fans are, I'd say 99.9% of all Syracuse fans are the same way. Even when we're struggling and even when we're not playing up the par, so to speak, the Syracuse support never wavers. And that's why Syracuse is special. And it didn't waver this year, even when the situation looking kind of bleak and wasn't sure about the tournament, if we're going to get in the tournament. But I knew we were going to get in the tournament the minute that I saw that we had two number one seeds from ACC. Because, I mean, that means we're definitely part of the strongest conference. Connecticut winning their conference helped us because we beat them. And Texas A&M make it to the championship game in their conference helped us. So,
right.
In my mind, I don't think we snuck in. I mean, we deserve to be in because of the, you know, if you go by that criteria. You know, so we deserved it, and we're showing everyone that we deserve it because, you know, we're in the Final Four. So that's all that matters. We have to really, really, you know, come out with our best effort and leave it all out there and, you know, really, really attack North Carolina defensively and, you know, attention to detail in terms of not letting the guards get any open shots and making sure the big guys are working for everything they get inside.
When you look at North Carolina, I think it's fair to say, speaking here with John Wallace, Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum, that there is some similarities to Virginia in the sense of they have veterans, they have people that can play inside, they have outside shooting, but not much. Joel Berry is somebody, as an outside shooter, as a veteran, Joel Berry II is someone that I think, beyond the arc, you have to consider to be more dangerous than a Marcus Paige even. And then inside, you have Isaiah Hicks, you have Kennedy Meeks, you have Bryce Johnson. Hicks and Meeks and Justin Jackson feed Johnson, who's always kind of cheating and sneaking around back and forth on the baseline. But Syracuse has proven that a team that has depth, like North Carolina, a team that has outside shooting but not a ton, like North Carolina, and a team that has plenty of inside presence and can find ways to pick apart the zone, like North Carolina, can be taken down because they did that against Virginia. What similarities do you see between Virginia and North Carolina? Do you see some of the things that I just brought up kind of going into this game saying Syracuse found a way against Virginia, which can be a helpful tool in going up against North Carolina?
Well, North Carolina is more athletic, they're a better running team. So I don't really see, you know, too much of a similarity between Virginia and North Carolina. They're completely different personnel and makeup. I don't agree with you about the Joel Berry. I think we got to really focus on shutting down Marcus Paige. Because once he gets going, then he gets everyone else involved, and he's hitting shots for himself. He struggled a little bit this year. He's starting to play a little bit better in the NCAA tournament.
Right.
And we got to make sure he struggles in the game against us. You know, we got to make sure we're up on him, contesting all his shots. Not hoping he misses, but making him miss. And clamp down on everyone else, you know. Obviously, they're going to get some good looks. You just got to limit the amount of good looks they get.
And when you see them, like you said, speaking here with John Wallace, Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum, that you disagree with the Joel Berry side and say, okay, you know, you got to watch Marcus Paige. And I agree with you. You got to watch them both. I think outside shooting Marcus can create for Joel and do some things for him there, but that this is a quicker team than Virginia. I think we can both agree on that, that they like to get out and be effective in that respect. But to take down a juggernaut like Virginia, Syracuse doing something like that, it's not done. I mean, this has not happened during this year. To come back from 16 down against Virginia, in that game specifically, everybody played a role of the seven that were on the floor for Syracuse. What were the biggest things that stuck out to you in seeing Syracuse turn a 16-point deficit into a 6-point victory?
Well, first and foremost was Coach going to the press. And secondly, which a lot of people aren't talking about, to me, is the fact that we were able to get in a bonus with like 9 minutes to go in the game. You know, the key to most comebacks are being able to get points where the clock is stopped. So we were able to chip away, and we made our free throws, and we got a bonus early in the second half, and I think that was very instrumental in us making our comeback also. You know, then, you know, can't say enough for how well Malachi played in the second half. I mean, he just took the game over against who's alleged best defensive player in the ACC. And Malcolm Brogdon was guarding him, and you know Malachi played really, really well and just was scoring at will on him.
We've had the discussion about the NBA and what the future can hold. Now, I'm part of the school that says, let's focus on the Final Four. Let me cover that. Let me talk about this team that back in October, I believed, had the capability of rising above the quote-unquote juggernauts of the ACC. So that's where my focus is. But nevertheless, there's going to be fans that are going to ask me, and they asked me today, and they're you know, it's on their minds. Tyler Lydon and Malachi Richardson, what if they're lost next year? What if they go? What you played in the NBA, John, you know what it's like to have the opportunity. You know what it's like to have the money that's thrown towards you and all of that. Speaking from your perspective, going through the situation, you stayed, obviously, and you spent some time in college. But what do you see out of Malachi? What do you see out of Tyler Lydon? How do you view them going forward? And what can you say to fans that are in the back of their minds worried that they're going to lose both of these guys?
It's hard to make it, you know, you don't know each individual's situation. So, you know, it's hard to say whether they should or shouldn't make the jump to the NBA because, you know, you're not walking in their shoes. That wasn't, you know, I felt like I made the best decision by staying. And quite honest, you know, I love Syracuse. It was the greatest 4 years of my life. You know, I wouldn't trade that for anything. So
right.
Those 4 years were special to me. You know, but you gotta do what's best for you, no matter what that is. And you gotta make sure you're surrounding yourself with people who are giving you the best advice. Listen to what Coach Boeheim is telling you pertaining to the situation, because you know he's privy to a lot more of information than you are, and the GMs, NBA coaches of the world who are telling them things, you know, he's probably got a good gauge as to whether you should or shouldn't go. And, you know, then, you know, you take all that into account and you make your own assessment, and, you know, at the end of the day, you got to do what's best for you. And if it's best for you to stay and refine your game and keep working at it and try to improve your stock, so to speak, then you do that. If your stock is kind of like topped out, you know, then it's, you know, you gotta make that move to possibly go. So it's not for me to say or for the players, really, for like the GMs and the coaches and, you know, the people that's going to be making that decision, they kind of determine whether you should or shouldn't come out. And I think with the new rules, you can go and get evaluated without signing with an agent.
Right.
To see where you may fall. I think if you're contemplating leaving early, you should take advantage of that rule, you know, before you just ultimately just, you know, put your name in the in the draft, you should, you know, go and test the waters. Why wouldn't you? It only makes sense.
And in looking at this team and knowing that two of them are not going to be back for sure, Mike Benajay and Trevor Cooney, you and I have talked throughout the season about them, John, and about their capabilities and about what they can do and maybe some things they didn't get credit for in the past. Mike Benajay has continued to be himself offensively, and he's also shown his strength in numerous areas of creating for other people. Trevor Cooney's defense has constantly been a focus of Jim Boeheim. Now it's more in focus for people that are watching Trevor, because if he's not making the threes, people tend to critique him and get hard on him, but now they're starting to see just what he's meant to this team and what he can do because of those big moments that he's had recently in the NCAA tournament kind of sticking out. What can you say about Mike Benajay and Trevor Cooney and the fact that they had nothing to lose at this point, and they went into this NCAA tournament saying, we got everybody against us, we got nothing to lose, let's play our game, and here they stand as one of the four left out of 351.
Well, I'm extremely ecstatic for them, because as a senior, that's the way you want to go out. You know, every senior wish they can go out playing in the Final Four. That's like your dream season, right? As a senior, you go out playing in the Final Four, so in that regard, I'm extremely happy for them that they're able to be a part of the Final Four as a senior. That's the only way to go out, and it's fitting that someone that worked as hard as Trevor and Mike transferring, sitting out a year, having to go through that, it was tough for him, you know, because it's tough to just sit and watch, you know, and they both paid their dues. They both earned everything that was given to them. And it's only fitting that they end their career in the Final Four. I'm happy for both of them.
John, looking inside, Daywon Coleman, Tyler Lydon, Tyler Roberson, you were an inside guy at Syracuse who could do things throughout the court. But when you look at the interior, you look at the front court, and you look at that presence, and you look at Jim Boeheim's defense, what can you say about how Coleman, Lydon, and Roberson have elevated their level of play in this NCAA tournament and are truly playing their best basketball at this moment when it's the most opportune time to do so?
Well, we're controlling the paint. We're making it really tough to score in there, too. We're not picking up any cheap fouls. We're making guys have to make shots over us, which is always good. Just, you don't want to bail people out. You don't want to put people on the foul line. You don't want to get them easy baskets. And then, you know, you don't want to get yourself in foul trouble that you're playing tentative. So the big men have been doing a good job of staying out of foul trouble, being able to stay aggressive and play aggressively. And especially, you know, Roberson on the rebounds. You know, even the rebounds he doesn't get sometimes, he's tipping them so that we're able to corral them eventually. Tyler Lydon is blocking shots like Akeem Olajuwon. I mean, he's blocking everything in there. And Daywon Coleman's playing big, and he's throwing his body around, and he's making his presence be felt in the paint. And you know, the combo of those three guys they're really controlling the paint, and for the most part, limiting teams to one shot.
When you look at this team, John Wallace, Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum, you look at your time, you look at everything that Boeheim has done, his five Final Fours from 96 to 2003, 2013, 2016, 1987. When you put them all together, what can you say about being a part of this history, and what advice do you have to this team and their own Final Four?
Getting your rest, take care of your body. You know, you don't want any regrets. Make sure you're fully prepared mentally, physically. In terms of being part of that lineage of the teams that have made it to the Final Four, it's awesome. That's why I love Syracuse. Everyone that knows me knows how much I love Syracuse and how I really, really, truly bleed orange. And, you know, I don't even need to really talk about it, because everyone who's ever come who cross paths with me know, they know that. My sole motivation for wanting to go to Syracuse was to, that every year you have a chance to make the Final Four. And with that being said, that's why it was the easy choice for me to go to Syracuse. And I've never, ever regretted that choice for one millisecond.
Well, John, as this team heads to Houston and Houston officially has a problem, there's never been a 10 seed in the Final Four. You've given your words to the team. You've given your words for your love for Syracuse. And I want you to, you know, kind of finish up here on the women's side of it. They're going to the Final Four as well for the first time ever. First Sweet 16, first Elite Eight, first Final Four. Coach Q has made so many strides from season to season. I said every year he takes one or two steps forward. This year he took about 15. What can you say about now knowing that Syracuse University is one of 12 schools in the history of college basketball to send men and women to the Final Four in their respective basketball sides of it? Just what you can say about that.
I'm so happy for Coach Q. He's put in so much time and effort, and he's been recruiting his ass off, man. He's been out on the trail, and he's got a nice group of girls, and I sent him a text message after they won. Well, actually, I sent it before the game was over, to be honest, because, you know, I knew we had it. Just telling him, you know, he told me last summer that he felt like this year was going to be the best team he's ever had. And, you know, he's clairvoyant, you know, and hopefully they're able to go out there and beat Washington. And then, you know, I know that it's a tough task trying to beat UConn. They're, you know, arguably one of the greatest women's team to ever be compiled, like playing against arguably the greatest women's player to ever play, Breonna Stewart. But on any given day, anything can happen. So not to get too ahead of them, you know, ahead of ourselves, you know, you got to beat Washington first. Can't, you know, obviously they're a good team because they made it to the Final Four. So first things first, you got to handle business with Washington. And then if you're able to get that chance at, you know, UConn, assuming they win, like I said, anything can happen. But, you know, UConn's going to be a tough team to beat. But, you know, so was the Georgetown team that Villanova ended up beating. So anything can happen.
Well, John, as always, it's an honor and a privilege to talk with you, and it's always a great time to have you on. I know you're a very proud dad of multiple children out there doing good things, and I know Joey, you know, got through his first season at Southern Connecticut State, and he moves forward. So thank you for all you do in the community, and I'm sure your kids would say thank you for being a good dad as well. I know you, as much as you bleed orange, I know that you care very much about those kids that you have surrounded yourself with, so thank you for all you do. And I'll talk to you soon. That coming from John Wallace, Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum. As we continue on here in the show, up next, Leo Routins, Tyler Ennis, CJ Fair, and Rakeem Christmas. We got to take a quick break and come back with Leo Routins. I'll be back here where sports meets life in just a moment.
Dan, this bouncing on these trampolines is so much fun.
I know. Why didn't we come here sooner?
I don't ever want to leave.
We don't have to. We're kind of doing the commercial like this right now.
And it seems like it's great for all ages.
It is fun for all ages.
I'd like to have my birthday party here.
They have birthday parties here all the time. You can dunk. You can play dodgeball. Wait, Nick, duck! You could go into the obstacle course. There's so many things to do here, Nick. And it's open all year round.
This seems pretty safe, too.
It is safe. It's for people of all ages. You can bring your family here. It's great for your body. It's great to get off some steam. It's great to have a good time. And all you have to do to book an event is call 315-948-3100.
Wait, Dan, what's that number again? That was bouncing.
315-948-3100. 3100.
Actually, is there a website I could go to?
Yeah, the website's getairsyracuse.com. It's just like we're doing right now. We're getting some air.
All right, Dan. I'm going to get more air. And then I'm going to go to that website to check out what other fun things I could do with Air Syracuse.
Yeah, you can find out more at GetAirSyracuse.com. You should really make your way over here. It's located right across from Driver's Village, 7687 Frontage Road in Cicero.
Get hopping!
Get air!
The Market Diner prides itself on bringing the local community fresh ingredients that are better than going elsewhere. Open for breakfast, served all day, lunch and dinner with daily specials. The Market Diner is located at the Regional Market on Park Street, right across from Destiny USA. For takeout, call 315-474-5247. The Market Diner. Local. Fresh. Better.
Coming back here on to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com and on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. Got to keep it going here. Leo Routens, as well as Tyler Ennis, CJ Fair, and Rakeem Christmas rounding out the show. So first and foremost of those four, let's get into it right now with Leo Routens, Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum and current broadcaster for the Toronto Raptors in the NBA. Leo, just what you have seen from this team that stuck out the most in their run through the NCAA tournament into the Final Four?
Just a fearless group. I mean, they just play. They don't spend a lot of time worrying about things. They compete. They play. They're getting great leadership from their seniors. You know, Binaje and Cooney. At the same time, what they're doing is they got a lot of young guys that are just fearless. You know, they're not playing scared. They're just playing, and that's great to see. And that bodes well for the future. Even during the season, you know, a lot of people are critical when they lost some games here or there. But, you know, when you've got a young team, you're going to lose games. And, you know, obviously, you know, Coach Boeheim's situation, not being able to, you know, to coach every game and, you know, all that kind of, you know, set them back a little bit. And now you look at them, they're just a young group of guys hitting their stride, feeling good, not worrying about too much. And it's great to see. I just hope some of these young guys don't get all caught up in a lot of this stuff and realize that they all stick around with you guys coming in. They could be a national championship contender again next year and raise their stock dramatically. So it's just a lot of fun to watch, and you know, I'm proud of these guys. They've really opened up a lot of eyes around the country.
When you say not getting caught up in everything and knowing that, you know, obviously next year they can make a run, I agree with you wholeheartedly with Matthew Moyer coming in and Tyus Battle. This is a team that, with the return of a Malachi Richardson as well as a Frank Howard and Tyler Lydon, and you know that you're losing Binaje and Trevor Cooney, but you're still going to have Daywon Coleman. Pascal is going to be able to come in after having to sit out a year as being a transfer, Tyler Roberson. When you see kind of this NBA rule that you brought up here, you know, not getting caught up in everything, that you can play 1 year in college and then jump to the NBA, what can you say about what that rule has done and what it potentially does with guys like Malachi and Tyler that I don't believe have any want to go to the NBA at this point? I don't think that that's been on their mind, but of course now that they're in the Final Four, the media is going to ask them that question 100 times from here on out. So what can you say to that effect of this rule and maybe how the Final Four changes some mindsets?
Well, you know, I don't believe you hold anybody back. I don't even like the fact that you have to play a year, to be honest with you. If you're ready, you're ready. If you're not, that's your mistake. That's a team's mistake if they take you and you can't play. So I really don't believe in the idea of, you know, holding people back. The college game and the NBA are two different things. If you're good enough, you might as well be honing your craft. It's kind of in the game you're going to be playing for the rest of your life. As opposed to spending time and really kind of under false pretenses for a year, maybe two, and then jumping out anyway. But having said all that, you know, you look at some of the young guys on Syracuse, and you hope that they don't get caught up into the hype. And you know what happens at this time of year, the deeper you go, the more people talk, the media gets into it. All these people that surround all these players all of a sudden get their hands in there, and everybody's kind of pushing, saying, hey, you got to come out now, you got to come out now. And quite honestly, the NBA has compounded that problem where, you know, they're drafting on potential. And you know, you can be a player that's not ready. And I think Chris McCullough is a great example of that. You can be a player that's not ready, even hurt, and you'll be drafted based on your potential. If you stay 2, 3, 4 years, you're not drafting on potential. You're scrutinized to the point where your stock actually gets hurt, and very few players survive that. So, you know, a lot of these guys are almost forced to jump before they're ready, as opposed to facing the alternative of staying. And even though you're developing, you're going to be looked at in an entirely different light. So that part of it, I think, is ridiculous, and I don't like. But unfortunately, that's the way it is. But you know, given the circumstances, I still think that the player Syracuse has, you know, a little bit more seasoning and the chance to not only do something special this year, which already has been amazing, but to come back and do it again next year and maybe even win a, you know, potentially win a national championship next year. So I think that they have a great opportunity, and then obviously their stock would be at an all-time high if they do what everybody thinks they're capable of doing again next year. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. But right now, I just hope that every one of these guys, as they have been, just stays focused, stay in the moment. This is the best time of their lives. This is going to be memories they're going to have, you know, when they're old men talking to their grandkids. So you want to enjoy every single minute of this and not let anything distract you from just the joy of being a part of a tournament like this and doing what they've done to this point.
What is it about? I mean, I know you said, you know, you didn't want the NBA or the NCAA to hold anybody back on false pretenses. If you want to go straight to the NBA, then go. I mean, the way that I look at this rule, I know the NFL says, you know, you have to stay 3 years, you have to hit a certain age or be eligible for a certain amount of time. The way that I look at it to kind of make both parties happy is to say, if you don't want to go to college and you want to go straight to the NBA, then instead of just going for a year and pretending like you want to be there, just go straight to the NBA if you don't want to go. If you do decide to go to college, then it has to be an NFL rule and you have to stay there for 3 years. So that kind of balances both. If you're going to college, it's got to be 3 years. You're closer to a degree. If you don't want to go, then go straight to the NBA. Would you support something like that, that gave a person coming out of high school two different options, or how do you look at it?
Well, again, I just don't believe in restricting anybody. That, you know, if what if I go to college and all of a sudden I blossom, and you know, and all of a sudden my stock's at an all-time high, and the best thing I can do is go. Why should I have to stay? That doesn't make any sense to me. And let's be honest. I mean, why did you go to college? You know, you went to college to get an education,
right,
to get a job, to make money.
Right.
And if somebody offered you your sophomore year of college a $5 million radio TV gig somewhere, you'd be gone.
Right.
Simple as that. You'd be gone. So if the money that you're able to make, you can simply set aside. If a college education is that important to you, you can set aside, you know, whatever you need to fulfill that obligation at some point in time. You know, one of the great things about life as a pro athlete, and one of the worst things about life as a pro athlete, is time. You have a lot of time on your hands, and that time can be detrimental or that time can be useful. That's up to you. So if you want to have a college education after you've left college early or never gone to college, you could still pursue that, and you have the economic resources to do it. So, you know, I just don't believe in restricting anybody from doing what they want to do or what they dream about doing. And with the money that's available to you, that I don't know how you say, you know, it's not important, or you can walk away from it, because that's generational money that players are making now. It's not just, you know, your income. I mean, you're literally, if you're smart with your money, you're going to be able to take care of your grandkids. So, you know, and injury can curtail anything at any point in time. So, you know, I'm just not a believer in holding people back.
Hey, coming from Leo Routon, Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum and current broadcaster with the Raptors and the NBA. Leo, when you look at the situation that Malachi and Tyler Lydon are in, I've heard all season long, is as soon as they have a good game, I mean, it could have been against Cornell, but Malachi Richardson, from day one, I get those questions. Dan, is he good enough? Is, you know, from what you see, from watching basketball, broadcasting, is he good enough to make it to the NBA? Oh, look at Tyler Lydon, 12 blocks in two games. You know, do you think he's going to leave? That's the constant question that repeatedly will come to me, and I got to ask you, from your perspective, Malachi Richardson, Tyler Lydon. I believe that they both benefit a lot from staying. I agree with you. Don't get caught up in everything that's going on right now. But how do you see them? Do you think that Malachi and or Tyler or both, if they decided after this season to go, could you see them translating at this point? I think they need more time, but how do you look at it?
Well, yeah, of course their talents can translate, but that's the whole point, that there's guys that are going that just aren't ready. And, you know, you're going to go. I mean, you look at Grant, you know, Jeremy Grant. Here's a kid that, you know, had he stayed, he could have had the great experience of being in the Final Four. He could have had the great experience of maybe winning a national championship, being a number one, number two, number three pick. Instead, hey, he's done great. I mean, financially, he's fine. But, you know, you're on a bad team, and you know, you're fighting for, sometimes you didn't play early in your career because you're not ready. Do you want to, you know, it's up to you if you want to go through that. You know, so it really is an individual choice. But do I think these guys are going to be NBA players? Absolutely. But the question is, you know, how do you want to get there? And, you know, how do you want to burst on the scene? How do you want to make your name? How do you want to set the table? So that's all something that, you know, they really have to look at and spend time talking. You know, Jim Boeheim is very honest with his guys. I mean, if it's time to go, he'll let you know, and he'll let you know it's time to go. He can call GMs and coaches and everybody, and he's got great respect around the league. And if he thinks it's time for you need to stay, he's not going to tell you to stay to help him. You know, but Jim Boeheim doesn't do that. He's not going to tell you, hey, you need to stay here and, you know, help my coaching record. If it's time to go, he's going to let you know. And if you need to work in your game, he's going to make that clear. And, you know, he did that with Tyler Ennis. He felt that Tyler Ennis would have benefited from staying. And, you know, he's always been that way. He's very straightforward, very honest. And I think guys should tap into that and look at it and take it the right way.
Absolutely. And now in looking at that team and what they've done, I want to go to that Virginia game here with Leo Routins, Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum. Like I said early on here, nobody does that to Virginia. Nobody takes down a team like Virginia coming back 16 under, except for Syracuse did that this season. And just what you can say about the change in the game and what this team did. I think there was 9 or 10 minutes left in the game, Syracuse down by 9, when they started to kind of turn the tide at that point. What did you see in this game that stuck out to you, where Syracuse finally took down what a lot of teams considered the big bad wolf coming out of the Midwest?
Well, you know, Jim Boeheim does not get enough credit for how he adjusts and what he does in game. You know, his zone changes constantly. And, you know, you see Virginia coming out, knocking down these long three-point shots and taking long three-point shots early in the game. And whether you make them or not, that's great. You know, Syracuse is smiling because guess what? Late in the game, they took some of those long threes and they weren't making them, because that's not the way Virginia plays. So even early on, when Virginia had the lead, you know, I was looking and there's a lot of things I didn't like about how they were playing. And then, you know, like I said, Boeheim makes adjustments in his zone, but he also understands that, you know, you make changes that you got to make. You know, you got to play the game. You got to adapt to the game. And he made the point after the game where he said, hey, you can lose by 7 or you can lose by 20. You're still going to lose. So, you know, you still lost. So you might as well do whatever you think you can do to get the W. And, you know, Jim Boeheim doesn't do a lot of pressing. He likes to sit back in that zone and make you work there. And the fact that, you know, with about 10 minutes to go, you know, down 12 or whatever it was, Syracuse had one run left. You know, I'm watching the game, and, you know, they had the lead. They lost it. They made a couple of runs. And I'm thinking exactly, I'm feeling the game, and I'm going, you know what? If they got one run left, you can't come close. Can't almost get there. You got to get there. This is it, because Virginia is just too good. And if you don't get there, you're in trouble. And that's right about the time they scored a couple, and Jimmy went to the press, and Virginia was shocked. They didn't expect it. And what Syracuse did, they tried to not allow the inbounds pass, so that ball had to be thrown over. And all of a sudden, Virginia's coming down, playing at breakneck speed, which is not their game. You know, Syracuse got lucky. I mean, Virginia missed a few easy chippies, but, you know, that's what happens. Pressure starts mounting. And as soon as Virginia was down, as soon as Syracuse got the lead, all of a sudden, you're a one seed. You're a one seed that's about to go down, and the pressure is immense. And that's exactly what happened. Syracuse mounted the comeback. They left their comfort zone, took Virginia out of whatever they were doing. But they did. They gambled. They rolled the dice. And as soon as they got up, you know, the pressure was just too great. And another number one seed came down. So, you know, great respect for Jim Boeheim to make adjustments and adapt in game. And for the players, just to keep playing. Not lose hope. Keep playing. Realize that's the only thing you're capable of controlling. Is if you just keep playing through, anything can happen.
And we've talked about it before, Leo, that not enough guys get credit for their defensive play. I mean, obviously this season, Tyler Lydon's been getting credit. Tyler Roberson has been getting credit. But Trevor Cooney and the likes of Malachi Richardson on one of those inbounds passes to jump up in the air and throw it off of Virginia when he went into, I think he went into one of the TV guys. When you look at this team's defensive ability and the fact that maybe, you know, a guy here and there is getting some credit, I want to look at the defense as a whole, because Syracuse defensively has aided themselves throughout this NCAA tournament, and sometimes it's talked about, but a lot of times it's left on the floor. I mean, I came out of that Virginia game with fans still saying, well, you know, I wish Trevor would have made three or four threes in that game.
Hey, you know what? Like I said, offense in a tournament like that, you're going to have ups and downs, and you're probably going to have more downs than anything else. Quite honestly, I was worried about Syracuse's offense in that game because their offense is killing them early, and their offense, what it was doing was feeding Virginia. And, you know, if you have turnovers and take bad shots and have long misses and the other team's coming down, you're dead. And that's exactly what's happened to Syracuse early. I was never worried about their defense. And in this tournament, hey, if I was a college coach today, I'd follow Boeheim's path. I'd be the best zone coach in that tournament because, hey, the pressure is immense. The pressure is unbelievable, and it's a one-and-done tournament. You know, you come in there, you miss a couple of shots, it's over. You have no chance. And you know, the basket gets smaller, and in today's game, there's just not a lot of great shooting teams. They're not. So, you know, and then again, with the adjustments that Boeheim makes throughout the tournament, throughout games, you know, he takes what you want to do and he changes it. He alters how you play. So, you know, their defense is fantastic. The zone is a great way to play in a tournament like this. And now you're going into, you know, you're looking and you're going to play North Carolina, which is, you know, my opinion, the best. They were my favorites coming in. They're the best team in this tournament. They're the deepest team. They're the most talented team. They're the biggest team. But the one thing they don't do great is shoot the basketball. You know, Barry's a good shooter, and the other guys are streaky if they get it going. So, you know, you have to hope a couple things fall into play. One, that you're playing well. Two, that your zone is hopping and popping and moving and doing everything it needs to do. And three, you hope that Carolina's not going to have a great day shooting the basketball. And you're in a dome, and that's all that helps you. You know, the sight lines are different, so you hope that that affects North Carolina, especially them not being a great shooting team. And then you have to do one last thing. You got to rebound. This team, you know, is big. They just beat people up on the glass and give themselves second or third shot opportunities. So if Syracuse focuses in, everybody becomes a factor on the glass, they got a chance, and it'll be fun to watch.
You brought up the fact that North Carolina is not the best shooting team out there, and it was funny because talking about it recently here, I said, you know, everybody focuses on Marcus Paige and Bryce Johnson, but Joel Berry is the guy to look out for if someone's going to be shooting and making them from beyond the arc. Syracuse has come close in their last two games that they had against North Carolina, two games this year. Boeheim, I mean, the team lost by 9 in the dome, but that score was a lot closer than it shows, because of the free throws that were made at the end of the game. And it was Boeheim's first game back from the 9-game suspension. The second time around in Chapel Hill, it's a one-possession game with about a minute to go, and Mike Benajay driving toward the basket. So I know that you said, you know, certain things have to happen, but when you look at Syracuse and how they're playing now, and you look at how North Carolina has been all season, is Syracuse the best threat to North Carolina at this point in the NCAA tournament?
Well, you know, I believe so, but only because, like I said, contrasting styles. You know, North Carolina is not a great shooting team. Syracuse is a zone team that makes you shoot and does all those things. So, yeah, I mean, I think they are probably, you know, their best threat at this point in time. But, you know, here's the thing. Syracuse is playing their best ball. They're rolling right now. They're playing their best basketball of the season. Well, guess what? So is North Carolina. North Carolina's playing their best. They finished the season strong, and they're continuing to play. So it's going to be, like I said, it's going to be a great matchup. And hey, the NCAA tournament, things can change in a heartbeat. One game can be entirely different from another. And like I said, you're just hoping that Carolina's not shooting the ball well, and you're not giving them second and third shot opportunities. That's the best chance you have in this game. And obviously, your pressure can create more difficulties for Carolina to shoot the ball, and you want to make sure that you're as active as possible. But you know, there's a term we always use and coaches use. You know, you got to finish defensive possessions. You know, you can play great D, but if you don't get the rebound, you did not play great D because you have to finish that possession. So finishing possessions is going to be critical for Syracuse against North Carolina.
And lastly for you, Leo, you talked about how Boeheim can switch up the zone and make it look different. And, you know, in discussions this past year and a year prior, what was said to me is, you know, listen, it's a 2-3 zone. Whatever, that's how everybody sees it. But sometimes the way that they're doing things, it looks like a 3-2. Sometimes it has those man-to-man capabilities and properties in them, so that it isn't your traditional 2-3 zone and that's it. There's all of these elements of different defenses that show themselves when they need to, because Boeheim has the intelligence to do so. What can you say about his 2-3 zone and some of those change-ups? Do you see that? Do you see that there are different pieces of it that look like other things, even though they're staying in the 2-3 zone?
Well, you know, I use the same zone. Obviously, I'm a big fan of, you know, what Coach has done. I use the same zone. The first thing I told my players when I used it, I said, forget any zone you've ever played. Forget any 2-3 zone you've ever been taught. This is entirely different. Okay, I don't want you to use any of the ideas you have from what before and try to implement in here. Do what I'm telling you, and this is how we're going to play it. And what Jim Boeheim does, he's got his own bumps, his own rotations. Well, what I've been laughing at him, it just actually absolutely cracks me up. I've listened to experts, and they are, you know, talking about college coaches, ex-coaches, analysts, you name it, on ESPN and everywhere else, talking about the Syracuse zone, and very few have it right. So if all the experts don't have it right, and I've seen coaches coaching against Syracuse, they don't have it right. They're attacking the wrong places. You know, I've been sworn to the Brotherhood of Syracuse here, the secrecy, so I'm not going to share all the details. But at the same time, you know, Syracuse, the zone does change. The zone does gives you things, then takes things away. The responsibilities of different players, you know, are masked sometimes, and people don't understand, you know, who's supposed to be doing what when you're playing against them. Like I said, the analysts don't know why that ball's not getting in the middle, or they don't understand why, you know, what the big man's responsibility is, because they don't break it down properly. And Jim Boeheim does a great job doing these different things within that zone to change it up. And if it's pressure, more pressure on the outside, more pressure on an individual shooter, more pressure inside, he can adapt and make changes. And, you know, the keys to attacking the Syracuse zone are really very simple. You know, you got to get it in the middle, below the free throw line area, and you got to get it in the short corner or mid post. And if you don't get it in those spots, you're going to take a lot of bad shots. And it's not easy to get it in those spots, but that's what you have to work for. But if, you know, I watched the Gonzaga game, and they had multiple opportunities to attack the zone in those spots, and instead they took long shots. And at the end of the game, they didn't score for 6-7 minutes. Even though those opportunities were there, they just didn't see them and acknowledge them. And I remember in 2010, Gonzaga played against Syracuse, and when Andy was playing and Syracuse wiped them off the floor, and it was the same thing. They completely did not attack that zone properly, which I find unbelievable that you can scout and not understand the weaknesses. But credit to Jim Boeheim. You know, even when you figure something out, he's going to put a different twist in and give you a different look, and that's what makes him special.
Well, Leo, I know the Brotherhood will thank you for keeping some of those secrets to yourself, and as always, it's an honor and a pleasure to talk with you.
All right, thanks, Dan. Have fun. Thank you.
All right, I'll talk to you soon.
Bye. All right, man.
Bye. That coming from Leo Routens here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. These are my conversations on the court when Syracuse advanced to the Final Four in Chicago, Illinois. I had an opportunity to speak with Rakeem Christmas, C.J. Fair, and Tyler Ennis. We're going to hear from Tyler Ennis first in my conversation with him on the court as Syracuse cut down the nets.
You know, showed a lot of heart, you know, today alone. But I think just being able to go from a team a lot of people didn't expect to be in the tournament, you know, to kind of taking over and making a big run, you know, at the national championship shows a lot of heart. You know, shows, you know, how good they are and attributes to, you know, just the program and the coaching staff and everything that Syracuse is about.
You know a lot of the guys on the team. Obviously, you're familiar with the guys that have advanced forward, the Tyler Rokersons, the Trevor Cooneys, yeah. Mike Benajays of the world. Just what you can say about those guys and Day One as well and what it means for you to see them advance to this point.
You know, it's great to see guys go from, you know, guys I played with to kind of going into the leadership roles now, you know, leading a bunch of younger guys. And then, you know, to have a bunch of freshmen step up today is great. And I think that goes to show, you know, coaches able to, you know, develop guys in a short amount of time and have freshmen play and take over a game at this level. You know, the Elite Eight is something that not everyone's able to do.
You can take over games. So, obviously, I'm sure you have respect for what Malachi's been doing.
Yeah, definitely. I think him and not only him but Lydon, I thought, you know, Howard came in and ran the show when he was in as well. So I think for the freshmen, you know, it's a really, really good freshman class, and I think they you know, mix in with the senior guys and the older guys as well.
When you look at a double-digit deficit in the second half to a team like Virginia that can dictate the pace of a game, yeah. And they had been dictating the pace, just what you can say about the resolve of this team.
Yeah, exactly. That's something that's, you know, you very rarely see Virginia, you know, give up a lead, but also, you know, kind of be able to get sped up and play into the hands of the press. But I thought they did a good job of speeding up the game. And then, you know, once we were able to start, you know, getting some baskets, putting some, you know, putting the ball in the hoop, I think everything, you know, kind of came together.
That being my conversation with Tyler Ennis, who was on site with me there in Chicago, Illinois, as Syracuse advanced to the Final Four. My question that I started with Tyler Ennis was, with the Dayton loss that his team had a couple seasons ago, a win this time, just what he can say about this team. And that's the first response you heard. On to C.J. Fair, who was also on hand in Chicago. Knowing a lot of the guys, just what he can say about this season so far, having knowledge of who these guys are and having been around them. And this is what C.J. had to say to that.
It's unbelievable, just the path they took. You know, they had an up and down season. And just like the year when we went to the Final Four, we got high at the right time, and they doing that right now. And you know, they got a shot.
They go to the Final Four, and a few years ago when, like you were talking about, 2013, you were able to do that. Mike Benajay was sitting out as a transfer, and Daywan wasn't playing. Cooney didn't get a lot of minutes. So what can you say about those three guys, knowing that this opportunity for them is so huge because they had to kind of sit and watch last time?
It's definitely huge for them to get their chance and prove that they can carry on the Syracuse legacy. And you know, they're doing a great job, and I'm just so happy for those guys.
What does it feel like to be on this court, knowing that even though it's not you that's going to be suiting up in Houston, but to know that twice in 4 years Syracuse is going to the Final Four?
It feels good. You know, it feels like I'm part of the team. Even though I'm not playing, you know, it makes me miss college basketball that much more. And I'm excited. I'm the number one fan.
You decided to stay at Syracuse and carry out your career, get your degree. Mike Benajay, Trevor Cooney did the same thing. What can you say about what those guys have been able to accomplish and knowing that they stayed like you did?
It just says a lot. They committed to the college experience, and, you know, it's going to pay off in the long run, you know. They have a chance to win a shot at a national championship. A lot of players don't get that opportunity, and they're living it right now.
the team was criticized being going up against a 7 seed, going up against a 15 seed, and then an 11 seed. They just took down a 1. So what can you say about Syracuse's run and what they've accomplished, knowing that every team they played has been difficult, and obviously this was a tall task?
They've been rising to the occasion. Whoever they was playing, they played their brand of basketball. They didn't let the other team dictate how they was going to play, and they came out being aggressive, and they showed a lot of heart tonight, being down, I think, like 15, 16 points, and in the second half to come back and win the way they did is unbelievable.
What does it mean to be a Syracuse alum, seeing Jim Boeheim do it again?
It feels good, you know. Boeheim, he brought the best out of these guys. You can tell a lot of people didn't believe in the team, but Boeheim was one of the main believers, and he got them to believe in themselves.
That coming from C.J. Fair, another Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum that I had an opportunity to speak with on the court in Chicago. Syracuse cutting down the nets, and Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora was there broadcasting. So I want to thank everyone in the NCAA and the opportunity in Syracuse for the opportunity of being down there and covering this team. Tyler Ennis, you heard my conversation with him down on the court as Syracuse advanced out of the Midwest region into the Final Four. You heard C.J. Fair, and now finally with Rakeem Christmas, just what he could say about being on this court as Syracuse advanced and seeing them, and then being on the court as they cut the nets down and seeing what they've accomplished this season. This is what Rock had to say to that.
They accomplished a lot. Everybody was down on us this year. I mean, they just proved everyone wrong. And I mean, we went through a lot with Boeheim and all the stuff going on last year. So, I mean, to see everyone get to the Final Four and having fun at this is just exciting for everyone.
Mike Benajay stepping up the way that he has, asked to do more this season. Just what you can say about your former teammate in 36 games, 36 times in double digits, just what he's been to the team.
Oh, I'm proud of Mike. Mike came through a lot, and he's been doing a lot since I've left. So I'm just happy he's been having fun and playing the game and running the team as a leader. He's been doing great so far.
Trevor Cooney, what he does, I mean, I know a lot of people pay attention to him three-point-wise, but defensively, just how he can affect a game and all around, just what you can say about him.
Oh, sure, like an energizer bunny, man. You don't get tired. He's all over the place on the court. He's making stops. He's just always in front of someone trying to turn the ball over. I mean, just doing the little things like that helps win games.
Malachi Richardson had 23 points when he played Virginia early on in January. In this game, he started out 0-5, and then he just went off. Just what you can say about the true freshman and how quickly he's been an effect to this team in a positive way.
Malachi steps up when he has to. I mean, it's a big game for him, and he just came out and do what he does. I've known him since AAU. He played on the same AAU team as me. And I mean, he's been doing the same thing he's doing at AAU, taking tough shots, making them, and I mean, he's always confident.
When you look back on the AAU days, did you see him being capable of something like this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I didn't know he was going to step up so early, but I mean, to see him doing it now, I'm just happy that he's doing it, and I mean, we're going to the Final Four.
Mike Hopkins, I know, is your former position coach, and he had to step in for Boeheim in a tough stretch of 9 games. Just what you can say about being back here, seeing Mike, and knowing Mike got an opportunity.
It's been great seeing Coach Hop. I mean, I ain't seen him since I left, and I mean, he did what he could when Coach Brown was out, and I mean, you see everyone doing good, and like I said, they're going to the Final Four. There's no more you can ask for.
That coming from Rakeem Christmas, speaking with me on the court as Syracuse advanced to the nation's Final Four this season. I want to give a special thanks to my special guest in this jam-packed Syracuse Orange men's basketball alumni show that gave love and tribute to the women's basketball team and Coach Q as well. Ryan Blackwell, Dale Shackelford, Lazara Sims, Gene Waldron, John Wallace, Leo Routens, Tyler Ennis, C.J. Fair, and Rakeem Christmas. I want to thank every single one of them for being a part of the show, and to give a congratulations and a heartfelt safe travels and God bless Alexis Peterson, as well as Brianna Butler, Bria Day, Brittany Sykes, Cornelia Fondren, Maggie Morrison, Taylor Ford, Abby Grant, Julia Chandler, Bria Day, Isabella Slim, and company, as well as Coach Q, Mike Benajay, Malachi Richardson, Trevor Cooney, Tyler Lydon, Tyler Roberson, Daywan Coleman, Franklin Howard, Chinonso Oboko, everyone on the team, as well as Jim Boeheim. You know, right now, get yourself to Parisi Speed School and get on the Biggest Loser Challenge. If you want to lose some weight, you could win $1,800. So make sure that you call them 315-635-5019. That's 315-635-5019. Let them know Dan sent you. Parisi Speed School, Jones Road in Baldwinsville, New York, inside the CNY Family Sports Center. You could lose weight on your way to $1,800. Call them now, 315-635-5019. The next time that you hear from me when it comes to Syracuse basketball, I'll be down in Texas. God bless, and I'll see you there.